As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Great Minnesota Get Together is light on the clomp right now. It's a beautiful day. Crowd's a little bit small.
It's early.
And that is the voice
CC
of Miss Courtney Cronin with ESPN and ESPN.com. She covers the Minnesota Vikings in second to none fashion. A weekly guest, 9 to noon, courtesy of Quick Trip and QuickTrip.com. Now, when you go to QuickTrip.com, assuming you have that free Quick Rewards app, play the opening drive sweepstakes. It's an opportunity to win a Ford Bronco, plus much more. It involves Minnesota Vikings games. We want to thank Mark Meisner with Quick Trip for assisting us with Miss Courtney Cronin. Quick Trip and QuickTrip.com for that opening drive sweepstakes. The Minnesota Vikings have a roster of 53 with a bunch of players that we see for now. And to get to that 53, there was a trade made for a third-year tight end coming from the AFC. It's this guy.
Arnold out of the shotgun, first and 10. Fires to the end zone, it's caught. Touchdown, New York Jets. It's that rookie Herndon who has touchdowns in successive weeks. It's a 12-yard touchdown, and the Vikings lead 7-6.
Football feast.
Herndon and the Vikings offense coming up a little later. But first, we focus on what Courtney believes is the identity of the 2021 Minnesota Vikings. And once again, I mean, it was a trek for the young lady to come to Carousel Park. She's super talented and very kind to join the show. Make it louder, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome the Chicago girl to the State Fair for the first time.
No, this is my second time.
Second time at the State Fair?
But it always feels like the first time because I always get lost on my way in trying to figure out where things are here.
Sounds like a Foreigner song. Feels like the first time.
Is it too early for a fried Oreo? Isn't that what I'm supposed to get here? Cookies?
You got Spam over there. You got fried fruit there. Do you like cheese curds?
Who doesn't?
Well, over by Al's, where we get the coffee, there's a cheese curd shack. And it's not just standard cheese curds. They're like jalapeno blends and just a bunch of different concoctions. Make sure you hit that before you leave, okay?
I shall.
Now, with the Minnesota Vikings, it was a significant day yesterday, one of several during the course of the year, as we approach the Cincinnati Bengals opener on the road. That's a week from Sunday, noon, KFAN, pregame at 10 a.m. And defensively speaking, a topic, Everson Griffin, despite a sack in the Kansas City game, ballyhooed by the fans, at least on social media when he returned. He was cut. Mm-hmm. Do we say cut for now?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was really jarring because I got a few texts from people on other teams being like, the waiver just came out. Why did they cut Everson? Right. And so, of course, you think initially, like, well, what's going on here? But remember, the 31st of August to September 12th is a long time.
Yeah.
There's this week now that we have in between when cuts happen and the first game. I mean, really, the roster, what we call it, like, the initial 53 roster doesn't matter until 4:01 Eastern time next Tuesday, because that's when, like, the salaries kick in. That's when, like, your roster, everything has to be, like, set for week one. So there's, I would anticipate for a lot of teams across the league, changes from now or yesterday all the way through next Tuesday. And so with Griffin, like, teams can get creative with it this year, right? That's why you saw several veterans with 4 years of experience, Amir Abdullah, the long snapper, Andrew DiPaolo. I mean, Dakota Dozier was in there, Ty Smith. You saw, like, a certain group that said, like, waived.
Yeah.
And then there was, because they have, like, vested veterans, and then you have the rest of them, like, the younger guys who have less than that experience, who are also part of the cuts. But I anticipate, and everything that we're hearing, is that there are going to be several of those veterans that are brought back. It's just some, like, roster gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Trying to get creative, because in order for play, because of the new IR rules that came into effect in 2020, where you can come back after 3 weeks designated for return, you'll start seeing some guys getting put on IR, I would assume today, tomorrow, and then you'll be able to bring back some of these veterans, like a Griffin, like an Abdullah. Obviously, you need a long snapper on the roster, so maybe would anticipate they probably make that move this week.
Yeah.
And you don't have to subject them to waivers. So, yeah. But it was jarring. I mean, who else in here saw it yesterday and was like, why'd they bring Everson back just to cut him, right?
Right.
Like, we're not the only ones who felt that way, but obviously there's a workaround for that.
9 to noon, egregiously, has taken a fat L right out of the gate. For the older crew like me, the L would be loss. I forgot to introduce the producer, Nordo, mad producer, ladies and gentlemen, the conduit to the sound, the catalyst to everything verbally shared, 9 to noon. Eric Nordquist produces 9 to noon. Nordo, defense, identity of the Minnesota Vikings. Miss CC is here with Everson Griffin. Don't both of you just have a gut feeling, or is your inkling that maybe, you know, maybe there's a handshake with Everson that he's not going to be on the team week one. And so therefore, sign him into week two. You don't have to guarantee that contract for the season, you know, because there's just been a little bit of a cliched roller coaster with the young man.
Yeah, I think that's when you saw the contract last week, right? And there were some people being like, well, why would they, with the IR designation and what his base salary would drop to if he was put on IR? It's like, well, that's the case for, you know, a lot of players, and what it became and what it would have been and what it became. And I think that's kind of their way of being like, we obviously want you here, but we don't want to pay for the whole season effectively. And it's just a creative, you know, accounting way of doing
it. Would you bet he plays at Cincy?
I would think so.
Think so?
I do. I think he'll be back by then. I mean, you want, the thing is, where you have these veterans who are just kind of sitting out there, you can trust probably that he's not going to get picked up by somebody else.
Right.
Because, I mean, yeah, they did show a little bit of what he could do, and people know what he can do on third down, but he had the whole offseason assigned somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's back here.
But then he got out there against backup tackle guy, the cat with three names, and absolutely owned him.
Yeah, could have killed that quarterback, but he was smart.
Right, but everybody saw that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, if you're releasing him, and people can see that, and they want to take a chip, chair, and chance on it, I mean, unless there's a handshake that he's going to come back to this team.
What kind of deal is he going to get, though, if he goes somewhere else?
Same one he would get here, veteran minimum.
Wouldn't a team immediately be like, do you even want to be here? I mean, they see his press conference.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of chosen his routes.
And he lives here, yeah.
And so the idea of just picking him up because you can doesn't mean he's going to roll in and be like, I'm so happy to be in Miami.
Yeah.
Or I'm so happy to be in Jacksonville.
Right.
No, I think it was, I mean, like what Nordo was saying, it made sense. Like the move that they made yesterday, and that he will be back here. I mean, everybody I've talked to said they expect and they anticipate it's going to happen. It was just a way that they had to do it for now. That's why every time when people, you know, yesterday, for example, you're seeing tweets like, oh, Kellen Mond beat out Jake Browning for the quarterback two job. No, that's incorrect.
Right.
Kellen Mond's not capable of being the number two quarterback right now.
Yeah.
It's all for now. Like, just because certain guys are now going to be subjected to waivers, and then the Vikings by the end of today should probably have their practice squad set. Like, all of that stuff is fluid. And so I would anticipate, like, you know, a situation like Everson Griffin, a situation like maybe another quarterback coming in, and other ways to upgrade the roster. Like, they're far from done with it right now.
Off the cuts, the defense to start 9 to noon, Courtney Cronin, ESPN, ESPN.com. She joins this show, and Dan Barrero. She'll be at the State Fair tomorrow with Bump at 3:30. It's all courtesy of Quick Trip.
So when you get to the 53, and Andrew DiPaolo, for now, we'll need a long snapper. He's not in the mix. But looking at that defense, the number's looking a little heavy at 27. And I guess specifically just staying before we get to the linebackers, for instance, staying on the defensive line, who do you think's sweating right now with the idea that Everson Griffin comes back, whether it's James Lynch, it's Jalen Holmes? There's a couple of guys on the back end of that defensive line unit that are probably wondering, well, if Ev comes back, does that mean that my number's the last to be called and I'm the short chair incident?
Yeah, I was just about to pull up what I had for the roster right now. I mean, there's 10 on the defensive line. There's Hunter, obviously he's not going anywhere, Pierce, Tomlinson, Wanham, Richardson, Weatherly, Watts, Patrick Jones, James Lynch, Jalen Holmes. Yeah. I would say it's probably Jalen Holmes because they're not going to subject a third-round pick to the waiver process hoping you can get him onto your practice squad, and that would be Patrick Jones. So yeah. I think that I didn't have Holmes initially on my 53. I felt like, I mean, the depth that they have at defensive end when you bring Everson back would have bumped him out. And I know he can play. He's an inside-outside player. They've been trying him, or they've been playing him some at three technique. You know, on third-down packages, he's rushing from the inside. I just felt like he would have been kind of that odd man out, and they weren't going to keep 11. They couldn't. Like, I mean, considering they kept 7 linebackers, so it's a numbers game. But yeah, I would say it's probably Holmes. I just think that, I mean, Holmes and then Lynch, but Lynch is. He's an interesting one. Do you really need another backup nose tackle? Probably not.
Right.
But I do think that the comments that Mike Zimmer made about him and just the progression that they saw this offseason kind of brought up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's gamesmanship to try to get him traded, try to get something for him. That's just speculation. That's not actually realistic. But I thought that that actually meant something. That's why I put him on my 53.
The North Carolina rookie, the linebacker Chaz Surratt,
mm-hmm.
Patience, obviously, I think should be required.
Yes.
With somebody who was a quarterback like 2.5, 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
transitioned to linebacker, terrific athlete. I'm trying to figure out through the 3 preseason games in watching him, whether it's special teams or playing linebacker, I can't get a feel for what he does well. Maybe we just haven't seen enough to, like, define mm-hmm. what his skill set not only is but will be. What do you think?
Well, he's still learning how to play linebacker. Like you said, he was a quarterback for 2 years at North Carolina before he made the switch, and I think it just probably tells you a lot about the conference he played in. He was, like, a defensive player of the year his
right.
first year. They were just nuts.
Right.
I think you have to have a lot of patience when you draft, but they knew that. They drafted a project, and you're not going to cut a third-round pick like that or, again, expose him so somebody else can go claim him. I mean, the young linebackers really came on late
yeah.
this whole camp, and I think Mike Zimmer calling them out, then you see what happened in that it was the Indy game where Dye had the interception, Surratt had the play on special teams, I think it was on punt return.
Yeah.
They're coming along slowly, but there's a reason you keep a Blake Lynch, a Ryan Connolly around, and especially if you are worried about how much time,
yeah.
if any, Anthony Barr's going to have to miss. If he's not going to be able to go week one, what do? Are you playing a lot more nickel? Nick Vigil's going to be calling your defense if that's the case, so
mm-hmm.
That frees Eric Kendricks up to do other things because they kind of out of desperation last year had to have him do it for a minute. But the young linebackers still have a lot to prove in my mind, and I think that Zimmer sees that too.
Now with Anthony Barr and a tweet you had yesterday, your intel is that for this Cincy game that he's very 50-50,
mm-hmm.
which for a guy who hasn't practiced in three-ish weeks,
yeah.
I mean, that's not bad.
It's not bad, but, like, when does he come back to practice?
Mm-hmm.
How much ramp-up time does he need? The other day, I guess it would have been Monday, we saw him riding the stationary bike. That's the first time we had seen him rehabbing this knee injury that he has, and he's been dealing with since, you know, he practiced last on August 5th. It's been just about a month.
Yep.
So, but he's somebody, too, that, you know, he knows the defense. He doesn't need, you know, he's still part of things, even though he's rehabbing. I just would worry about how physically ready he is. I mean, the pec is not the issue, and that's what Zim said this whole time. So we find out it's a knee. He's had tendonitis issues. He's had knee issues in the past. So how serious is this? Is it going to require some sort of maintenance? They have to, like, factor those things in when they're going to determine, you know, when they can push him, how they can get him. But,
yeah,
like, I checked in on it last week. I checked in on it again this week. It's still very much kind of a wait-and-see thing, but I was told right at around 50%.
Lastly, on the defense, Mad Producer.
Yeah, we've talked about it 9 to noon. The six corners they kept, we felt it, I mean, almost just by numbers, because there really wasn't a seventh guy. Like, that made the most sense. In terms of the safeties, do you think there's anything, I mean, Bynum by nature of a draft pick versus a Miles Thorne, Metellus via special teams, is there anything as you saw
I wouldn't say Bynum by nature of a draft pick. I thought he really improved from the corner to safety shift. As practice went on and in the games, would you agree?
Yeah, I think he's made huge strides.
Like James Lynch, by process of a recent draft pick, you know, when we were talking about Holmes and Lynch and all that. I just don't want to, you know, I think Cam's doing a really good job.
Well, and that's what I wanted to lead her into, just because I haven't had an opportunity to see as closely what a difference between a Bynum or a Dorn or a Metellus, and how ultimately they got to the idea of keeping all four of those guys with Harry and Xavier Woods.
Well, they didn't have a lot of depth at that position last year. I think they only kept three on the initial 53.
Yeah.
And this year it's four, so that's where your special teams play, like you had mentioned. That's where some of that's going to come from. But in terms of, like, his development, I think that he made strides. It's not, you know, they drafted him knowing he was going to play safety. It wasn't that they got him here and said, okay, well, we're going to move you from corner to safety. Every team that talked to him during the draft process said, hey, this is what we envision for you.
Wow.
So the tackling ability is what they like.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's hardest with safeties, and we talked with Harrison Smith about this the other day, you have to be constantly communicating. You are constantly talking. And that's something that they've struggled with. A lot of the younger safeties, Metellus, Dorn, even, you know, you can't bind them too. I mean, as a rookie, it's not something that's, if you're not, like, inherently used to that, that's going to take a while to get used to, because you see the entire field. You have a vantage point because you're literally the last line of defense back there. So I think that that's probably where he'll have to, of course, continue to improve. But from a depth perspective, it's a position they just didn't have a lot of it last year.
Yeah.
Corner, I mean, they've got at least, like, good depth this year. Like, for me, and you and I have talked about this, it was a no-brainer. Like, I never had five corners on my roster. I always had six. I always had Harrison Hand on there.
Yeah.
It's just a game that you don't want to play. You don't want to be thin at any of those defensive back positions, considering how difficult it is to play in this scheme and how important it is when, you know, when your pass rush was as lackluster as it was last year, that stressed the back end of your defense so much. Now that they're trying to balance it out, I think, this year, just in case, you know, now that they anticipate the pass rush being better, making sure that you have the numbers to affect that on the back end of the defense, but also having the experience and the depth if you need to go to it.
Girl got the goods.
CC.
When it comes to Minnesota Vikings and National Football League knowledge with ESPN and ESPN.com, her name is Courtney Cronin. The segments are courtesy of Quick Trip and QuickTrip.com. Now, coming up later, 9 to noon, 10 o'clock right here at the fan booth, Carousel Park, in the shadow of the grandstand, Minnesota Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch will be here for a couple of segments to discuss the how. At 11 o'clock, we're going to play a 9 to noon staple game called Stump the Snob, as in the sports snob, and we have a couple of listeners who are going to compete against me. If I win, the runner-up gets turf suite tickets to Vikings and Seattle. If they win, whomever wins gets those turf suite tickets to the home opener September 26th. Against the Seattle Seahawks, a very cool prize provided by the Minnesota Vikings. It's 9:20. All of that is courtesy of TimberTech and TimberTech.com. What's on deck 9 to noon includes more with Miss CC as we segue to the Vikings offense and the incarnation of the roster as it sits now. It's Paul Allen, Eric Nordquist produces. Maxwell Fuller is guiding the great ship Love Covenant from the 651 Carpets studio at FM 100.3 KFA.
Fan. Hush now, child. FCC.
Just move on up toward your destination.
9 to noon.
Minnesota Vikings offense, the Bill of Fare post cuts with Miss Courtney Cronin at Courtney R. Cronin via Twitter. Follow her as a 9 to noon does. It is at Courtney R. Cronin. Some of her biggest fans who are longstanding friends of mine, like quarter century friends, Scott Erie in Richfield, Johnny the Mouse Mickelson, captain of the 83 Wyzetta Club hockey team. They're all tuned in each and every time Miss Cronin graces the airwaves, which will include at the State Fair tomorrow at 3:30. We heard a Chris Herndon highlight to begin 9 to noon. He's a rookie from the University of Miami. He's a tight end who played with the New York Jets. I believe he has 7 touchdowns in his career. He had 4 his rookie season, 1 against the Minnesota Vikings. And with Irv Smith Jr. being on the roster for now, but there will be an injury designation, it's the estimation of 9 to noon and probably Miss C that the best run-blocking tight end the Vikings have in Irv Smith Jr. is hurt. And the Vikings are a run-first team. So, Chris Herndon, for those who don't know much about him, what can you tell us about his overall skill set?
Well, he's a two-way tight end. I think that's where you start there. And you've kind of seen him fall off the last couple of years. So, right, he has this great rookie season, a lot of promise. And then 2019, he's facing a suspension. He comes back. He pulls a hamstring while he's coming back.
What was the suspension for?
For a DUI.
Ooh.
So that happens in 2019. Hey. And he comes back, New York Giants game. He cracks a rib. Mm-hmm. His one catch that a whole year, and then he's put on injured reserve. So I think the story for him the last few years has been he showed all this promise as a rookie. Can you get back to that? Last year, I mean, literally, I think that was the first play of the season. He dropped a pass. Yeah. I mean, he's dealt with drops, fumbles, so he transitioned more into a blocking role last
year.
Lack
of common sense with the DUI.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lack of confidence, too. Like, from everybody I talked to in New York, just trying to get some intel on, okay, who is this guy? What has he dealt with? What is he like? Because he kind of tumbled down the depth chart. I mean, he starts out as your top tight end going into the season.
Who beat him?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, not Tony Gonzalez, Kellen Wendt, Dwight Clark.
I hate you.
What? Wow, and she made it public in front of people.
Now I'm going to have to look it up.
Mr. Meisner, hold up on that Quick Trip thing. Good Lord.
So they got Tyler Croft.
Ooh, Tyler Croft.
Tyler Croft, that's who it was.
That's a game changer.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, Croft with a K. That's a game changer.
But anyway. No, I mean, their tight end depth chart in New York looks awful right now. So I think what happened here was this is somebody who's had 3 systems in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They determined that he really wasn't a fit in their West Coast scheme. Well, how does that translate here? There are a lot of West Coast principles in this offense. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think it's a Band-Aid over a far bigger problem. And we all anticipated that they would have done something yesterday in as far as executing a trade. Because losing Irv Smith, for however long it's going to be, this is a meniscus injury that we don't know. I mean, I haven't looked in his knee yet. Okay. And I haven't heard of anybody who
has.
His
knee hates you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because you haven't looked yet. You care about other body parts like the thigh and the calf and everything. The knee's like, I hate you.
It's great. Then tell the knee how I feel, too.
Got that Chicago edge this morning. Holy cow.
It could be a couple weeks. Worst case is it's a couple months. And kind of from what I'm hearing is that there is that fear that it could be longer, like on the longer side of things, which is not good because. Mm-hmm. You talk about breakout candidates this year, people who on this team could really flash, and he has every opportunity. I mean, we saw those final 4 games of the season last year when Kyle Rudolph's dealing with the foot injury, how good the future of the tight end room looks, right, with both Irv Smith and Tyler Conklin.
Yeah.
And that's what you're building on. I mean, you saw it in practice. He's, you know, destroying dudes in the red zone. He's becoming that big target for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but I was afraid to tweet about it because if I miss 2 drops, then I get killed on Twitter by at Courtney R. Cronin. So I just had to, like, pull the reins.
Context, man. Context, nuance, clarification. I'm just here to support you.
Well, no.
This is actually a form of love.
I understand
here
that.
For support.
Right. And the surrogates work that way. However, after I saw somebody attempt to assassinate you with a Jake Browning take this morning.
Oh, my God. gosh, and, what is wrong with people? Chicago, they're so mean.
Well, oh, yeah, and you were just so, so nice from the top rope. You just came in and daggered somebody.
If you're going to come at me like that, though, with an uneducated take, you're going to get bodied.
It keeps getting better.
You're going to get bodied. Oh, wow. Like, I'm sorry, I am who I am.
And we thought the song was Bad, Bad Leroy Brown from the South Side of Chicago. It's Bad, Bad CC from the top rope. Herndon to close. Because I remember when he was taken, I believe, in the fourth round by the Jets. The analysis that I got here was raw, very athletic, can be incredibly mean. So he,
big blocker,
Right. And but the engaging part is, ha, come on, Chris. Yeah, let's get going here. But when he is engaged, can be a very mean run blocker. And then yesterday, somebody not from here just described him with one word, enigmatic. He's just, he's kind of an enigma in that you don't know what you're getting. But he also was catching passes from Sam Darnold and Cousins is A, better than Darnold, B, markedly more accurate. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to help Chris.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, because that's what I had heard like yesterday, the disinterested was the word that was used, that, you know, lack of confidence. Like, he kind of fell off this preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think a fresh start for him here, if he can live up to all of the expectations that have been, you know, kind of, and they're not like massive expectations, but it's like, hey, can you get back to what you did in 2018?
Right.
Or are you really going to just show you are, you look like a fourth round tight end?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
he will have moments here with Kirk off play action to Dalvin, in my opinion, where people are going to be like, how was he not a first round pick? I mean, he's fast and he's a tight end who can get deep.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't find him for 2.5 games and you're like, hey, how was he even a fourth round pick? Why didn't he go in the seventh? You know, it's just up and down.
Yeah, and that's what you can't afford to have at this position. I mean, we know how predicated this offense is on two tight end sets. So I wonder now, like, what does the role for Tyler Conklin change?
Right.
Is he your tight end one? I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. I still think
I say no.
I don't think so. I agree with you, but
I say no by the home opener because I think it's going to take Chris a little bit to get going.
I mean, he's got to learn a playbook.
Correct.
I mean, I would assume he'll be out there today or tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, we're back at practice. So, yeah. I mean, I just think that this is a Band-Aid, though, on a far bigger problem. And there were a lot of people who asked me, well, why don't they go get Zach Ertz? Well, Zach Ertz is making, like, north of $8.5 million a year. They can't pull that off.
Yeah, and he doesn't block the run. And the Vikings are a run-first team, you know?
But there is, you know, what Zim said when I asked him, well, what are you going to do? How do you compensate for what you lose for however long with Irv Smith in the passing game?
Yeah.
He's like, well, we could go more three wide. Well, the team used 11 personnel less than 40% of the time last year. That's the lowest in the league. So you can say, yeah, they want to use more three wide. Who's your third receiver?
Yeah.
It should be D.D. Westbrook, assuming he's on track and he's ready to go. But can you do that consistently? Because this is a team that uses Justin Jackson. It uses your one and two.
Yeah.
And they don't use anybody else. So I'll believe that when I see it, which is why Irv Smith was going to be such. And, you know, if they get him back, sure. Like, he's going to still have a chance, I think, for a really, really good year. But, like, how long is he going to be out? He is a huge part of this passing game. Creates mismatches over the middle of the field. Is that big body threat. That's what when they drafted him, that was that F tight end. Remember that phrase always gets thrown around?
Yes.
The move tight end. You can line him up out wide, split him. You can be an inline tight end, H-back, what have you. So you're not going to get all that in Chris Herndon. But I think if you can try to mitigate the problem, and that's what they're trying to do here, that's the best you can do. I mean, giving up a fourth-round pick after we saw what the compensation was, where the Jets are basically taking on most of that salary and he's getting a minimum here, that makes sense. But I know that there are a lot of people who, you know, even myself included, like thinking, oh, wow, fourth-round pick, that's a lot.
Yes.
But teams can smell your desperation when they know how good Irv Smith is and what he was going to be in the offense this year. You let Kyle Rudolph go because the writing was on the wall that this was Irv's year.
Didn't the Jets pay a bit of his salary, though?
Mm-hmm.
There was a financial piece of that kind of worked in our favor.
Yeah, no, that's like what I mean. Like, it's they're taking on a pretty significant part of the financial burden with him. So, yeah.
She is Courtney Cronin.
CC.
ESPN, ESPN.com. The Vikings, when they cut, have been left with two quarterbacks for now, but I think it's two quarterbacks, period. Kirk Kirk Cousins and Kellen Mond. We will discuss that and see what went into the decision in the opinion of Miss Courtney Cronin, and continue to chat football for another segment up to 10 o'clock when Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch joins us at the State Fair. It's Paul Allen with Courtney Cronin. More Vikings conversation around the corner at FM 100.3 KFA.
On the Fan.
Past the hour. Welcome to the State Fair, everybody. It's beautiful. You can, hey, what's going on there, everybody? Let's pump it up on a Wednesday and have a funky good time. We have Miss Courtney Cronin, ESPN, ESPN.com, at Courtney R. Cronin, if you want to get rep at Courtney R. Cronin, that is, if you would like to follow her, like a 9 to noon. Nordo produces, and I'm little old Paul Allen. We're discussing the Minnesota Vikings roster post-cuts, kind of slow-rolling our way up to Cincinnati, which takes place a week from Sunday. We thoroughly expect to speak to Miss Cronin next week to get ready for that game and the season when things are settled. But first, we're on the offense now, and the Vikings finished with two quarterbacks. For now, I believe it'll be four, period. Kirk Cousins, Kellen Mond is the backup. Are you surprised, for now, a veteran of some sort has not been brought in as the backup quarterback? And good morning.
No, not entirely.
You didn't say good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning. How's your coffee?
It's excellent. Thank you. Would you like some in COVID times?
Oh, goodness.
Have a sip from somebody else's cup.
I mean, you do have disinfecting wipes right here, so I might as well. But yeah. No, I mean, I'm not surprised right now. I know there were a lot of people wondering if Sean Mannion was going to get cut yesterday and maybe they'd go scoop him up.
Mm-hmm.
They've kept three on the roster in Seattle, so no, yeah. I'm not surprised right now.
Right. So, and it I mean, when Kirk plays all the games, mm-hmm. and if he goes down, you're in a lot of trouble.
Sure.
I mean, we, you know, vax, non-vax, the fidgety gene, Deion Jones, Micah Fitzpatrick, P.J. Williams, we've heard it all a million times. But nevertheless, 42-65, like 35-38 TDs, that's hard to get. Accuracy amongst the highest in the history of the NFL. And for the most part, even with a new coordinator, he knows the plays and he knows the offense. And so yeah, I mean, if Kirk goes down, then I'm in favor of, depending on what part of the season and what the record
sure.
is, I guess. But, you know, I mean, Kellen's not ready to play, but
no.
I mean, it's like even if you put a veteran quarterback in there, who you just get, or they've been running the scout team a little bit, or they've been in the room or whatever, it's still going to fall off. You know, it just didn't make sense to me.
No, of course. And I think when it came to Jake Browning and them cutting him, that to me, when Friday night I put my 53 out, my last one I did for the preseason, we did mm-hmm. one going into camp and then afterwards, and I had him off the roster at that point. There
right.
was just no way that you could justify putting
yeah.
him onto the 53 roster.
Does it trip you out at all what we saw in the preseason games compared to what we see in practice? I mean, you watch more practice than me, but every time I was out there, Jake generally would be doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
The accuracy was pretty good. The arm strength leaves something to be desired. But being here for 2 years, running the scout team, being in the quarterback room, knowing the plays, knowing the coordinator, knowing the quarterback's coach, he could get through practice and look pretty good. But then in the game, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and practice is a controlled environment, right?
Right.
So that's the hard thing where you think you're seeing something in practice and you really can't determine if it's worth a darn until
yep.
you get to the games. And that's why they have preseason games. Like, I know people want to have the argument, why do we need preseason games? Everybody's getting hurt. Look at J.K. Dobbins, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Like, for instances like this, because if you put him, if you don't have preseason games, if this is last year, for example, last year circumstances this year, and Jake Brown is your number two quarterback, and you know, fortunately for the Vikings, Kirk Cousins is incredibly durable, even behind you know some porous offensive lines that he's played behind. This isn't somebody who misses a lot of games, but if you were to ever have to turn the ball over to a number two quarterback and you didn't have the preseason to test out to see if they could do it even against a third or second string defense, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But I will say this, with the role that like backup quarterbacks have played for Kirk Cousins throughout his career, and particularly here in Minnesota, he needs that clipboard holding guy. He needs somebody who's going to challenge him in the meeting room, somebody who's going to help him prepare for games. And you know, I don't know if they get if what they have right now. I mean, Kirk's got so much more experience. I mean, think about who else they had on the roster this year. Nate Stanley, second-year quarterback, never played an NFL game. Jake Browning, third-year quarterback, never played in an NFL actual game. And Kellen Mond, a rookie. So, yeah. I mean, as far as, like, the keeping you sharp stuff that Sean Mannion did, that stuff cannot go underappreciated. That is so important. And, yeah, he doesn't have a whole ton of NFL experience within this time, I believe, in you know L.A. before he came out to Minnesota. But still, that means something. Like, the knowledge in being you know, being a backup quarterback is not somebody that's like you're going to go out and steal the number one's job. It's helping that guy prepare for games in season.
Now, the name Dan Chisena does not resonate much with many fans. I mean, because he doesn't play much, and when he does play, he's on special teams. He's one of the gunners, generally speaking, and he's the fastest guy on the team. He was a track star at Penn State. There have been those who have told me, as a gunner on the punt team, that it, most times he's unblockable. He's just too fast with too much quick twitch. He's on the active roster for now. I mean, he didn't play in the Chiefs game because of injury. Didn't see him at practice Monday, I believe. Monday. So this feels like it could be some form of early season injury designation. I'm surprised they kept him, and here's why. And you can't teach speed. We've heard that a million times. But he lacks instincts. You can't play him at wide receiver. So if he's active, he's active to do one thing. And that's assuming you punt, or you punt a lot of times and line up outside. And you know, when main man Marcus Sherrills, when he was active week after week to do one thing, return punts, he's Vikings immortality. So, I mean, he's one of the best in the history of the team. I just don't see that. This just surprises me. What about you?
Well, Chad Beebe was waived with injury designation yesterday, so I think that had something to do with why Chisena made the roster initially. But you're right. He looks like a track star playing wide receiver.
Right.
He doesn't have any issue getting open. It's just catching the ball.
Yeah.
Like, and
that's a good point.
You know, I think the special team stuff, like you said, it's kind of been up and down. Does he stick on this roster long term? Doesn't feel like it. It feels like this is a for now type move. And if you're right, if there is an injury designation, if they want to put him on IR, maybe he is one of those guys. I remember that play in practice where he got hurt, and I think it was that was the Wednesday before. That was last Wednesday. I'm trying to remember my dates.
I thought it was the day before that, but I was afraid to put it on Twitter for fear of being savage.
No, it was the day that you claimed that I came from the top rope for you.
Claimed? I still have scars.
Okay.
I haven't felt my ribs in 30 years, and you broke four of them.
Well, I mean, he landed really hard on his back. I remember he was laying on the ground on the sideline. He caught a pass from Kellen Mond. And trainers come over to him, and it took him like a minute to get up.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of like manipulated, looked at his neck and everything. It looked like he was just, you know, shaken up on it, but that obviously has been a couple days now, so he didn't play in the game. But, yeah, I mean, numbers-wise, keeping six at receiver, you know, I went and I didn't think they'd go that heavy initially in camp, but then I saw kind of what they didn't have and where the number three job was and what you were getting and what you weren't getting with D.D. Westbrook at that time. But it makes sense from a numbers perspective, because remember, typically the bottom half of that roster, bottom half of that position room is going to be special teams players. Mm-hmm. They're anticipating Amir Smith-Marset being that guy, you know, as a returner. He was, you know, what was it, Monday, he was out there taking, you know, the reps over Amir Abdullah. Like, they were rotating back and forth, but he was getting the first reps, you know, on as a returner. And
then Amir takes the L.
He'll be back, right?
Like, I don't know.
That's what I was curious about, because I wouldn't be offended by him being cut if Wongu was healthy.
Yeah.
But now we got this hyperextension bit or whatever's wrong with his knee that he gets in there early on in the Denver game. So you don't know what you have until you can get him healthy and practicing again. Mm-hmm. And Amir has been solid, and he fills that return role where Smith Marset has shown flashes but not consistency.
Yeah, I mean, I'd bet he would be back. I mean, but I wouldn't bet a lot, you know. And he is one of those gunners with Chris Boyd. They're the first two gunners. Harry Hand behind them. What's going on, Ralphie? What's going on? How you doing, Tony? Man, the heat's here. Minneapolis security. Holy cow! With Amir, you know, I had him on the team every step of the way, and maybe with Wongu. You know, maybe the feeling is that they kind of are going to do the same thing, so we don't need two of them, and Wongu's closer than maybe we think with that knee. It surprised me when he was cut, but it didn't blow me away.
No, and I would if we do see an injury designation for him, if he gets put on IR with the designation to return. I mean, he's not Giannis apparently. Right. Only Giannis can come back from a hyperextended knee in a matter of 6 days.
Excellent Giannis reference when Timberwolves coach Chris Finch rolls up. The NBA tie was very nice.
You are welcome. But no,
that's the ESPN radio in you.
Yeah,
just
it is
the natural. I want a baseball player to roll up so we can get a San Diego Padres reference.
I'll just text you about it while I'm driving to K-Fan, nearly swerving off the road. What did I say? No, it's Yadier Molina, and it was a stump the snob.
Yeah, well, it was the all caps with the 19 exclamation points. That's what probably got me, the hyperactive Chicago girl. Quickly in closing, Greg Joseph kicker for now. Greg Joseph kicker. What do you think?
Who else are they going to sign at this point?
I don't know.
I mean,
Eddie Pinheiro get cut? I didn't look.
I'd have to look.
Well, Gonzalez and Randy Bullock are out there.
That's true.
The Lions.
Yeah, they cut both of their kickers in Detroit. They're just gonna They're just gonna spot the ball at the 25 from now on. I guess that's what they're doing.
Do you trust him?
I don't know. I've said this going into into training camp. He's last kicked in a game in 2019. He was with the Browns for a little bit last year. He's on the practice squad in Tampa Bay. Yeah, he's looked good in training camp, and they have simulated those pressure kick situations, and he looked good in preseason games, but I don't know. That was the one thing I thought we were going to see more than anything else that I could predict in training camp. It's Minnesota Vikings training camp. There's going to be a kicking competition.
Right.
Well, I got duped this year. I thought there was going to be one.
You are elite. Thank you very much for the information.
You're welcome.
Can I get a witness and a raucous round of applause, please, for Miss Courtney Cronin, ESPN, ESPN.com. Girl got the goods, courtesy of Quick Trip and QuickTrip.com. Now, Chris Finch, coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, is here for a couple of segments. Been excited about this for a couple of days. We will chat about the Howl when 9 to noon continues from the State Fairgrounds at FM 100.3 KFA.
The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Minnesota Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch. Can we get a round of applause? A raucous round of applause and some witnesses from the congregation. Probably finally settled in, right? I mean, Toronto, we were playing Toronto. We're looking at the bench. Then all of a sudden the next game, we're like, hey, I know that guy. Oh, wait a second. He's our coach now. And non-playoffs, off-season, Anthony Edwards development. Pat Beverly's here, maybe more to come, and training camp less than a month away, Have you finally settled in as head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, I think I have. It's been a whirlwind for sure.
Yeah.
It's all been exciting. The off season is, you know, condensed. We're missing a month from a traditional off season. We're going to really feel that, or have been feeling it really post summer league. I was able to get away for a couple weeks. Just flew in back last night to be here with you guys and get my state fair experience. And,
yeah. Really, is this your first time here?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what you gonna eat?
Well, I've already had cheese curds and chocolate chip cookies, and that's before 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So I checked off two of the big boxes.
Right.
There. Yeah.
Do you think there? And I have a point to this. At any point of the upcoming season, do you think you'll ever have a 3-game losing streak?
Well, I would hope not, but you know, it's very common in the NBA. Even the best teams have it.
Thank you. Which is great that you have Tony Adams as your security guy by your side. Because if anybody starts heckling you on the streets, that's the man I want by my side.
Well, I know I've not accomplished anything yet, because when I walk around, Tony's more popular than I am right now. So,
well, I know I saw you, and I'm like, Tony, my man, how you been? Chris Finch, coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, do. Being here and having played basketball, coached basketball, it's been your life. Do you, if you go to fairs or whatever, do you tag the carnies for a ton of stuffed animals at every basketball like game there is? I mean, you can just tag those carnies for the fattest panda you've ever seen.
I was always much better at the goldfish toss than I was at the basketball.
Yeah, with
I was,
the ping pong ball.
I grew up a defender. I would never really grow up a shooter. So
really?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they all say. Yeah. That's what everybody says when it's, hey, Pat, want to play here? Hey, so-and-so. Yeah, well, he's first and foremost a defender. Until you start playing the games, then everybody wants to score 30.
Of course, that's the new NBA. But there's a lot of pressure when you're standing there with your girlfriend and you got to make shots to get a stuffed animal for her.
Well, that, I mean, we could take that multiple ways with the National Basketball Association. The fair makes people happy. There are smiling faces. There are happy feelings in the air. Copyright Frankie Beverly and Mays. Wolves fans want to be happy. Is step one keeping the product engaging all season? We can be like, let's win the division. Let's hoist the Larry O'Brien. How about just keeping it engaging the entire season? Would you agree?
I would agree with that. I think we have a team now with, especially with our young talent that we've been able to add to Cat and D'Lo. We're talking about Anthony. We're talking about Jaden. These guys are going to be fun and exciting to watch.
You know,
Ant's fun to watch off the floor as much as on the floor. So.
Really?
We hope that that's the case. We know it's going to boil down to being successful, but first and foremost, I want to be able to put out a team, or we want to be able to put out a team that the fans are proud to watch play or root for. We have a chance every night. We're super competitive. We play hard. We share the ball. We do things all the right way.
Yeah.
And that's the first step. I think from that will come the results, and we expect to take a step forward in that department too. And that hopefully all leads to your season-long engagement.
And you've seen it and done it and observed it for a long time. So when you're with the Raptors, man, you were there with Kawhi Leonard, right?
No, I actually wasn't there. I actually was there for a half a season, but I've been with New Orleans and Houston and Denver all during a lot of their growth processes.
Okay, well, you've schemed against Kawhi Leonard many times.
Yes.
Now, in no way am I putting an Anthony Edwards comparison on probably the best two-way player in the game, maybe. But in watching Edwards last year, it's you would know better than me, but not everybody has that gene of, I'm going to win this game. My ball handling skills, despite my massive upper body, are LeBron-esque. And he just has that gene to him, and I just love it.
Yeah, he does. He has that special quality. Has a sense for the moment in the game that you don't find in young players. A lot of the things that he was able to do, when you look at him from an analytics or a metric point of view, now they were in small doses, but they're things that top five players in the game are doing, you know, and he has to obviously build upon that. He's got to embrace defensive concepts better. He's so young. Don't forget, he reclassified. This should really be his rookie year and by his age. So he reclassified before he went to Georgia, which accelerated his draft process. There's just so much that he is trying to take in. The game at the NBA level, particularly on the defensive side, is so complicated.
Yeah.
These concepts are not things that they're getting taught until they get to his level. So his curve on that end of sport is going to be behind. I don't know if he'll have the two-way ability of a Kawhi, but he's going to try, and he's going to be a lot better at that end of the floor.
Yeah, and the Kawhi piece that I was getting at is he's just unstoppable when games are on the line, whether you're deep in the corner against the Sixers in the playoffs, falling away, or his excellent ball. But he's big, and he's just tenacious. And you know, obviously the hope is Anthony would get there defensively. If he could get 75% of that, holy cow, would he be good. Now, rebounding, and I'm not taking a shot at the squad or anything, but I think you guys were like 20th in the league last year in rebounding. Is there Karl-Anthony Towns? Is there anything to him that can be Andre Drummond-esque, where like you see every two games 21 and 24 rebounds, and something like, you know, where he just grabs 20-ish rebounds almost every game?
Yeah.
Or does he play too far from the basket?
Well, no disrespect to Andre, but I hope he's not, because Kat's a far better player.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, Kat is
I'm saying numbers-wise.
Yeah, numbers-wise, like, you know, he rebounds well at a rate. It's the rebounding around him that we have to do a better job. Team rebounds, we got really good rebounders in the offseason this year. You know, Kat's, he's always been able to, you know, manage numbers defensively and offensively when it comes to rebound.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with overall scheme and how you position them in pick and roll and these types of things. And these are things that we've been studying all summer.
Well, I mean, like Drummond, Gobert, Whiteside, whomever, true centers. Mm-hmm. Do you think Karl-Anthony Towns is a true center?
I do believe he's a true center. All those guys that you just mentioned are defensive orientated. Their number one priority and their number one role is to protect the rim.
Right.
Kat is an offensively orientated player. He's a unicorn. He can score in the post. He can score from three. He can score in the mid range. He can pass. He can handle. He is absolutely he is a luxury to have in today's game. The benefit that you see with a guy, when look at offensive versus defensive centers, a lot of these defensive centers, the guys that you just mentioned, in the playoffs, they're being played off the floor by small lineups.
Right.
You can't play Kat off the floor.
Right.
Because he'll punish you those mismatches. So that's what I think in the game is now trending back to skilled big men.
Yeah.
It had been a lot of guards and an unskilled big who protects the rim. Now you see more people trying to acquire skilled bigs. And we have two of them, and Naz Reid is obviously a really good backup.
Well, was Hakeem Olajuwon truly one of the first overall skilled bigs?
I mean, certainly could be able to dominate at such a high level. You had Kareem, of course, before that. But, you know, Mikhail Parrish, these guys were all two-way, highly skilled. Mm. But, you know, the game was played way closer to the basket back then. Now they play bigs all over the floor. It opens up driving lanes for everybody else. So the nature of the game has changed so much. We've created much more space, drive and kick threes. And when you have bigs that can spread the floor like you have in the NBA now, skilled offensively, you can basically have the best of both worlds.
Yeah. This is Chris Finch, coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Nice enough to stop by the KFAN booth at the State Fair. So with Karl-Anthony Towns, just looking at the roster, Naz Reid, center. Karl-Anthony Towns plays center. Kat plays more than Naz, obviously. I'm not going to say is it a conundrum, but, I mean, are you guys forever looking at your power forward spot to see what you can do, rebounding, shot blocking? Like McDaniels, he played some power forward near the end of the year, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he is, you know, he's kind of a Swiss Army knife when it comes to defensive matchups. He can match up against the four all the way down to some point guards. He probably a little bit more comfortable against, you know, the Hardens and the Doncic's of the world. These guys are guys that he can use his length on. Again, with Kat, you have the luxury of having a lot of different types of power forwards next to him, or other bigs, if you will. You know, we've certainly looked at options where they're more traditional rim-protecting bigs, and you can play Kat at the power forward. So we have that type of fluidity, and it's just about finding a good balance. We think Jared Vanderbilt is a guy at 21 years old, has a bright future. He's like good rebounding, toughness, extra possessions guy. That's the type of thing that you really need out there next to Kat.
With Vanderbilt, what a wonderful opportunity in front of him. Because, I mean, I'm watching these games. I hadn't heard of him. I didn't know he was on Denver. And then I'm starting to watch the games. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I saw somebody make a worm comparison here. There was a Dennis Rodman comparison. I'm like, let's hold the horses on that. I'm a racetrack guy. Because Dennis, I mean, that's defensive rebounding immortality.
Yeah.
But then as I watched him and his wiry frame and his long arms, and he's super energetic, you know, having that season he had last year, I mean, there are amazing things that you can do with him and he can do if he has the right confidence. I mean, I just think he's sitting on potentially something big this year.
Yeah, we need to get him back in the fray. Right now he's a restricted guy and we're working close to a deal there. But he has an opportunity to come in and be possibly a starter. If not, he's going to be a high-impact rotation player for us. Thing that's exciting when you think about him is that last year was his first 1,000 minutes in the NBA. All the other seasons before that, I don't think he's played 100 minutes total.
Yeah.
So it's really, at 21 years old, was almost like a rookie season for him. And we feel like he's a guy that can help drive winning.
Maybe you play, and we're going to talk about this guy next segment, Patrick Beverley. I've watched a lot of his games from afar. Maybe you play Beverly and Vanderbilt at the same time, 42 minutes a game, and you try to win 79-77. Why not? Throw it back, man.
Yeah.
Let that be your staple.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, you would have to get a lot of stops. The league is just, the league's on fire right now with scoring and pace. So,
yeah.
But those two guys will certainly lead our defensive personality, no doubt about it.
Beverly, a point guard, assumedly to back up the man they call D-Lo. I want to chat about him around the corner. And you know, with Vanderbilt being restricted, sounds like there's still some work to do there. And Mr. Rosas, along with Chris and the staff, I would imagine, are doing. It's forever trying to get something to make the team better. But as we go to break, Tony Adams, Timberwolves security, I see a 6'11 left-handed guy heading to the basketball games where he's not going to shoot free throws because he can't, but holy cow, is he bodying up against that security guy. Go get him right now, okay? 9 to noon continues with Chris Finch, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Around the corner, we'll be
KFAN.
Bench coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves is nice enough to stop by the KFAN booth at the State Fair. We are adjacent to the grandstand, final segment with the head coach. And we mentioned Patrick Beverley. He is just a hard-nosed, rough-and-tumble point guard, played with the L.A. Clippers recently. He's played with the Houston Rockets. And he now is a point guard on the Timberwolves after Jarrett Culver was traded. We'll start here. Have you talked with Patrick?
Yes, I have.
And well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know Patrick well. I was with him when he came to the league for 3 years, his first three years in the league in Houston. So have a good relationship with Patrick. Talked with him. He is extremely excited to be here.
Why?
Because he knows he can impact our team. He knows he can bring the toughness and, the defensive personality. And it really starts on the ball. Like, all defense has to start on the ball, and he takes pride in hawking the ball.
Well, with also with Patrick, and you mentioned the word toughness, I'm glad you said that. Do you, Coach, feel Beverly and his toughness will be inspiring to others on the team, specifically the younger guys?
I think so. This is he's a very infectious player. He's got a lot of swagger. I think he's a guy that the fans will really love playing because He, you know, puts it out there every night. He makes hustle plays. He's not intimidated by the league's best players. He's willing to take the challenge, whatever it is you can give him. He'll make big shots. He's an underrated offensive player. His teammates like him. And he challenges, you know, when he'll challenge your great players to be even better, both on the floor and in the locker room.
Right. So when you say he's an underrated offensive player, would that be he was just on some teams with really skilled offensive players and, hey, here's your role. This is what your role. I mean, I know he can shoot from three. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his percentage is, but I've just never envisioned Patrick Beverley as like, hey, let's clear out and beat somebody off the dribble and get to the basket.
Yeah, I think he's done a really good job of adding, playing off the catch, attacking, and making deep paint reads for kickouts or finishes. He's developed a nice floater since he's been in the league. He has such a defensive reputation. I think people forget that he can make shots and he can do some things with the ball in his hands. He's always going to be a complimentary offensive player, and he's fine with that.
Yeah,
which is great because it adds to the buy-in and the overall chemistry of your team.
So when it comes to mental tenacity, and I don't know how well you know Jimmy Butler. Obviously, you weren't here when he was here. It was Tibbs, but. Like with Beverley and just the mental tenacity, Jimmy Butler is one of my favorite players in the game. It didn't end well here. I've just always loved the Bulldog, man, and the way he plays the game. Is Patrick like that? Is he meant to, does he lead that way?
He's very much like that in terms of his approach, and he's willing to take the challenge, and he prides himself on, like, hey, this is how I made it in the league. This is how I stay in the league. This is what gets me paid in the league. And I think he's got a sensibility around his teammates, though, where he's, you know, he'll bully his opponent, but he's not going to bully his teammates.
Right. With D'Angelo Russell, what do you love most about his game?
Oh, he's super skilled. He's an unbelievably skilled player, probably the most skilled players that I've ever worked with, and I've been fortunate to work with a lot of them, including James Harden. But his ability to handle, pass, and shoot, play in small spaces, worked with Kevin McHale for 5 years, and Kevin used to always say, like, you can always tell the best players that they can play in small spaces, you know?
Yeah.
And D'Angelo can play in really small spaces. He's, you know, he's a basketball player. Like, I don't know if he's a one, I don't know if he's a two. Our challenge is to play him at both spots and be able to maximize him in both different roles.
So there could be significant run, significant being subjective, but Beverley running the point, D'Angelo off him.
100%.
I mean, you're small back there, but... Man, they balance each other nicely. Holy cow.
Yeah, they do. And, they're, you know, Patrick's strengths will, you know, kind of, he can help guard the guys that are not favorable matchups for D'Lo and vice versa. You know, I think we can create a lot of good shots for each other in the backcourt.
Now, obviously, you're not married to a starting lineup right now. You probably have written one down on cocktail napkins or napkins 1,000 times trying to design plays and schemes and stuff. But Malik Beasley. Is there any chance he comes off the bench? That's some significant bench pop there if he buys into it.
Yeah, there's. I mean, I think when you look at balancing your team, like how are you going to balance your team? How your firepower, all your skill sets, how do they go together?
Yep.
We've considered scenarios for both him starting and him coming off the bench. I think the exciting thing is, you know, in both of them, like, we definitely see him finishing the game. So we have a lot of firepower we're able to put out at the end of the game. Games, we're just going to have to collectively be able to get out and get enough stops at the same time. I only got to coach Malik 4 games last year between when I first got here, then the suspension, and then the injury that he had. So that's like a whole new player for me to kind of get into the mix. Really excited about it. Again, I was with Malik in Denver for his rookie year, and the growth that he's made in that year is has been, you know, in those years, since those years, like, he's really figured out who he is and is in the game right now, and we're excited about having him. But if you look at all these teams that play at a high level and win, they have 7 and 8 starters.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby Portis is a starter most places, you know, and now he's probably one of the best and most beloved off-the-bench players you know, the league's seen in a long time.
Right, and he played a ton for the Bulls, and then he gets with the Bucks, and he gets his role, his niche around better players. Yeah, that's an excellent, excellent point, because it truly is the niche that matters almost as much as your skill set, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think when you get your team and everyone kind of settles into their best role, whether that is on the bench, off the bench, number two, number three in the pecking order, whatever it might be, that's when you really, really start to accelerate your development, because now everybody can be their best version of themselves.
So if you, say, you started playing this week, who would your top power forward be?
Well, I mean, at the moment, you know, we'd probably start Jaden McDaniels there, given out, obviously, we don't have Jared Vanderbilt back on the squad yet,
yeah.
But there's going to be, we could also mix and match it. Like, we have the luxury of being able to be matchup driven some nights, but mm-hmm. not change our style of play. So that could be, you know, if we're playing more of a guard oriented team, then maybe we can throw out different guys at that lineup, you know.
So with Chris Finch, coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, for two more minutes, time for two more. From Carl Anthony Towns through D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards, three of your very best scorers. Overall, with those three plus the team in totality, how do you feel about your three-point game and like the consistency with the percentage they hit?
Yeah, I feel great about it. I think with D'Angelo and Kat, you have two of the elite shooters in the league, particularly at their position. Anthony is an emerging three-point shooter. As most young guys come into the league, you know, cleaning up and making a high level of shot from three-point line starts with taking better shots, you know, mm-hmm. just not coming down and burping up threes for the sake of threes, which you see a lot across the league right now, but getting those high-value ones that come in the flow of the offense and transition, kickouts from offensive rebounds, these are the things that are proven to, you know, lead to better shot percentages. And so we really, really harp on that. We give our guys a lot of green light to shoot it. We want to take a lot of threes, but we want to take good threes in the flow of the offense.
When Gerson was with Houston, and I just always envision when I'm thinking threes, Luke Richard and Mbamute, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, just standing in the corner, and then something is diagnosed or schemed, and they're all alone, and they hit them every time. So, like, who's our stand-in-the-corner guy?
Well, we have a couple. I mean, the offense is a little different. Like, they were basically, very much of Steve Nash, stroke James Harden. Everyone stands around, two-man game, break down the defense, kick out. We're way more fluid than that. I think we have, like, a lot more skill. These guys, Kat, D'Lo, Ant, they can all move around the floor, and we want them playing more in, like, three-man combinations. So, but we have Patrick Beverly can make spot threes. Jaden McDaniels, spot three shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Torian Prince, who we just picked up, can make spot threes. So we have guys that can make a lot of threes. You know, and the reality is, like, again, it's not about making a lot of threes. It's about taking the right amount of the right types, and then you'll make shots.
Wish we had an hour. You mentioned Torian Prince, corner three guy. Yeah. Would steal the heck out of the ball at points of his career. Shooting percentage leaves a little something to be desired. But, again, the niche, you know, mm-hmm. where you got D'Lo and Beverly who can beat you off the dribble, to the corner, that's what Torian's role is, right?
Yeah, and we feel good about Torian because, again, he's going to help drive our defensive adjustments and our personality there. But he's had his best seasons when he's been in systems that kind of model some of the things that we also do with shot selection. And we feel we can trend him back to those good shooting percentages.
Your chief security guy, Tony Adams, is giving me the sign, either the sign that it's time for you to leave, or there's a 6'11 guy over there dribbling a ball with a left hand. He can't shoot free throws. He's being very defensive with everybody. Can you just go see what he's doing to see what's going on over there? I appreciate you, man.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Chris Finch, coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, got me excited for the Wolves season. Let's go. About 9 to noon into the second half of the presentation. It's Paul Allen.
AFAN.
State Fair, ladies and gentlemen, second half of the presentation, about 25 minutes from a game we play weekly on Wednesdays at 9:15 called Stump the Snob, as in the Sports Snob. Yours truly in this trivia game over two segments. We'll be taking on a couple of listeners. One cat's name is Mike Ulrich, I believe. Is Mike Ulrich here? Is Mike Ulrich here, or maybe en route because we're getting close? And Superstats Dave. Dave Handlin. He'll be another of the contestants. If one of them wins, they get a couple of turf suite tickets to the Vikings and Seattle Seahawks. Those are those sweet suites, field level for the home opener. And if I win, then the runner-up will get the turf suite. So it behooves them to try right down to the finish line. It's a Nordo creation. It's Stump the Snob, as in the sports snob, at 11 a.m. Speaking of Nordo, we got this.
Yeah, just to remind everybody, us being at the fair is presented by Snap Fitness, whether you're sitting in the Snap Fitness fan stands or you're just hanging out with us 9 to noon through the program and bumper to bumper. The power trip's going to be here on Saturday.
Aye.
But use the hashtag KFAN at the fair. The reason you do that is you have an opportunity to win a one-year Snap Fitness membership. They're giving away one every single day. So whether it's hashtag KFAN at the fair, if you don't have Twitter, that's all right. Just go to KFAN.com, keyword fair, for another opportunity to enter. Somebody every day is going to win a one-year Snap Fitness membership, an Apple Watch. You got Snap Swag,
yeah,
a personal training package. Maybe we should just take this 9 to noon, to be honest with you. Make sure the quarter-tongue covenant goes away for good. But again, brought to you by Snap Fitness. And, of course, we have our new KFAN merchandise courtesy of the fair. And you can go to KFAN.com, check out the pro shop if you're unable to make it here to Carousel Park.
Irv Smith Jr., according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, is going to be out the season. That's yep. It. I mean, 4 to 6 months. He just reported that. I have no reason to believe he's wrong. So, Chris Herndon, welcome to the Covenant. Fourth-year Cane, that is, 3 in the NFL, all with the Jets. We'll forgive him for that. The quarterback with whom he's going to be playing is the best quarterback with whom he's played all of his life.
Yeah.
The running back who he's going to be protecting, blocking for, and with whom he'll be playing, Dalvin Cook, the best running back with whom he's ever played in his life. Now, it's tough to say that when you're a Cane, when you are from the University of Miami, because at one point that was running back you. I mean, Frank Gore, Clinton Portis, Edgerrin James, so on and so. And they were like all on the same team. But things have fallen off a little bit down Dade County way. So Chris Herndon, formerly of the University of Miami, playing with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. Two receivers that are better than any receiver with whom he's played in the NFL, and you can have Robbie Anderson and Jameis Crowder. So he's coming into a situation that is, I believe, going to be conducive to success for him, assuming the cliched buy-in and the engagement factor and the playbook goes quick twitch and resonates. But old Chris with Tyler Conklin, those are your 1 and 1A tight ends for the Vikings into the 2021.
And I like the way Courtney put it during the first hour, where this was a Band-Aid potentially on maybe what could be perceived as a larger issue, specifically with the tight ends. And I guess, you know, you being in practice and seeing these things through 3 preseason games, I kind of look at that group minus Irv Smith with the same types of opportunities that an Ole Udo had when he wanted to step in and compete for an O-line spot, where Conklin has flashed some really nice traits, but not elite, certainly not cemented in stone as a top target on offense, and certainly run blocking leaves a lot to be desired. Brandon Dillon, we've been cheering about this Marion flash for 2 years now, but certainly just getting his first crack to fill out that roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
Herndon, really, within the first handful of weeks, could supplant and become that number one tight end option.
Yeah, you know, the tight end situation for the Vikings, since they went to the zone read offense, okay? You had Kevin Stefanski, Associated Press Coach of the Year with the Browns. Stefanski was the offensive coordinator. The amplification coordinator, Gary Kubiak, 7 Super Bowls, he won 4. They brought the Kubiak stretch offense, the zone offense, in. And then Stefanski leaves for Cleveland. Gary runs the offense. Gary retires. And now his son, Clint Kubiak, runs the offense. The point here is, I'm starting to do not any kind of like deep dive analytics on the, it's not PAFF, Paul Allen Football Focus, but the tight end situation for the Vikings, it's quite deceptive. Because when you're a tight end for the Minnesota Vikings, you are a blocking tight end first. And if you don't buy into it, then you're not going to play. And thus, Kyle Rudolph, from really 2018 on, he became a more accomplished blocking and protecting tight end, and he's super big. And Kyle never was known for his run blocking or pass protection prowess. Stefanski and Kubiak get here, Kyle gets better. Irv Smith Jr. was not taken in the second round from Alabama to be a run blocking tight end. He gets here, and all of a sudden, wow, I have to block and I need to protect. That was his calling card more so than precise routes and changing games with touchdowns. So when you think tight end with the Minnesota Vikings, I don't think touchdowns and mass. That's why we have Dalvin. That's why we have JJ. That's why we have Thielen. Thielen's going to lead the team in touchdowns again this year. So you have those three. So from a tight end standpoint, Chris Herndon, what do you do that can serve the three we just discussed? Now, Chris, you know, I remember Chris when he was with the Jets. I remember him coming into the NFL. And the word that I used with Courtney early in the show from ESPN.com, Courtney Cronin, enigmatic. I mean, I've just heard it too much with him that he has some enigma to him. You know, when you watch him in games, Chris Herndon, I think he wore 89 with the Jets. He's fast. I mean, he's very, very fast.
He's built well.
He's very athletic. He's built very big, as Mad Producer just said. But there are just times with Chris where you got to clap and say, come on, man. Just God gave you these gifts. Use them consistently. And from a run-blocking standpoint, it's in his heart. All those names that Nordo just rattled off, I don't believe they are capable of achieving run blocking or pass protecting what Chris can. This is the best team for whom he's ever played. So hopefully he buys into it. Hopefully he helps. He is a tight end. You know, you got, I'm not comparing him to Travis Kelce, a younger Zach Ertz, George Kittle. Those are the elite of the elite. But they get down the field and or up the seam, straight up the field, and they can outrun linebackers and they can deceive safeties. Chris is that guy if he's consistent, and that's the big question.
Absolutely. So anticipate, Vikings fans, you'll see Irv Smith Jr., a member of the 53-man roster, probably be moving to IR quite shortly, and Chris Herndon added into the mix. A couple other NFL things from yesterday. Mm-hmm. 31 other teams also trying to cut their way down to 53. This first thing, and we had the NFC North debate yesterday, which is always fun. It's Smug Sinekin, it's Lavelle. We have a blast, talk some trash, and get out of here. I felt like he was, I don't want to say he was downplaying it in earnest, but he seemed a lot less concerned than I would be, Dave Sinekin, as a Packers fan, to hear the news that David Bakhtiari was going to be on the PUP list. And he tears his ACL on New Year's Eve. That's awful timing. There's never good timing, but in terms of bringing it around to the 2021, he's out of the mix. And I'm looking at an offensive line right now, Yasua, Nyman, Elgton Jenkins. They got the rookie Josh Myers at center, Patrick Lucas, and then Billy Turner filling that thing out. I would be concerned if I was a green and gold fan, similarly to the way that I'm perpetually concerned about my O-line as a Vikings fan.
Trash talking aside, and you know, the Green Bay Packers, with 12 at quarterback, they're favored to win the division. If he is upright and in uniform, they're favored to win the division. He's that good. It's one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. So that to the side, this is the potentially worst offensive line Green Bay has had, I think, since Aaron Rodgers has been a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, with the Bakhtiari piece, with him missing a month and a half minimum. The now Bakhtiari, he wasn't their left tackle last year either, and they went to the NFC title game. But they had Corey Linsley at center. That's a veteran center. What's going on, buddy? A veteran center who's now with the LA Chargers, I believe. So now they got a rookie at center. Okay, and they can love the rookie all they want. The Minnesota Vikings can love whomever all they want when it comes to in the trenches, okay? A man's game. The strength, the things that transpire within offensive and defensive lines, it can get ugly. And it is a man's game in there. You're playing against guys who are in their 8th, 9th, and 10th years. They're men. They're strong as bleep, and they might be on their last veteran minimum contract, and they don't want to go out like this with some snot-nosed kid, you know, not recognizing lines are long, gigs are hard to find, and I'm going to whoop your butt. So that's what they're dealing with right now. there. The Lucas Patrick situation at right guard, we'll see how it works out. I've never been the biggest fan. Their left guard potentially is elite. But the left tackle situation, that, because of everything else on that line, no Lindsey, the right tackle situation, ever since Bulaga left, they tried to push Rick Wagner on their fan base. It was terrible. So they're still trying to patch that up. How will that impact Aaron Rodgers, who he doesn't hold the ball, he has a quick trigger, and he is dead accurate, specifically on his deep balls. It's fascinating. The addition of Randall Cobb to that team, it's one of my favorite free agent moves any team made in the offseason, because Randall knows how to play, and that's so much of, you know, that's so much of succeeding in the NFL or at the highest level, is just knowing how to not mess it up or do things wrong. You can be Adonis guy, you can run like the wind, you can have all the measurables, but if you can't think it the right way and you get your team beat, see Drew Lock, quarterback Denver Broncos, you ain't gonna make it. And Randall does not get his team beat, and Aaron loves him. So I love that move for them.
Isn't that the key, though? Knowing how to play with 12, not just knowing how to play. And we saw that similarly with Brady for so many years in New England.
I thought Randall was okay with Dallas.
He wasn't bad.
Completely different. Yeah, Randall Cobb is a very smart player.
But it's that connectivity, I think, with Rodgers that goes above and beyond where, you know, there's everybody in the NFL at that position is an athlete, right?
Ain't no doubt.
And there are speed differences and all of those things.
Ain't no doubt.
But if you spent 2 or 3 years, like Equanimeous St. Brown, you spent 2, 3 years and aren't able to differentiate when 12's throwing you the ball, that maybe tells you not just as much about an athleticism issue as it is your ability to know how to play.
Well, they have a younger player named Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and he is more athletically gifted than Randall Cobb at this stage of Randall's career. Randall came into the game out of Kentucky, a high-end punt returner, and very shifty and tough out of the slot. He's not as shifty or as fast as he used to be, and he never returns punts anymore. But he still will play as much, if not more, than Marquez Valdez-Scantling, because the HOF quarterback off Nordos Point does not trust MVS as much as he's going to trust Adams, who's top three, top four receiver in the entire game, and Randall Cobb. That's why Equanimeous St. L is gone. And that's why, you know, Kumaro, the Jake Kumaro, the cat they let go, who's now with Buffalo, that was an L on the part of the Packers, because Kumaro, A, plays well with Rodgers, and B, was young talent that was emerging. So now you start to see all that. We joke around 9 to noon a lot about stop cutting Aaron Rodgers' friends, and he'll stop throwing you the middle finger, GM, from Malibu. But Kumaro never should have been allowed to leave. And is he Devontae Adams? No. But he's a player that fits what Aaron wants to do. And it starts and stops with Aaron, not the general manager, not the head coach. So, if, like I said, 9 to noon for months, if I'm Aaron, I'm pissed off, too, at a lot of these things that have transpired with Next Level Goody. But it's all good now. Aaron had a great training camp. They're the team to beat in the NFC North.
My last thing for you in terms of the NFL at wide yesterday, two different things have happened here, where yesterday Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer, it comes out that, and he kind of acknowledged something, because there's this weird duality where the Players Association is encouraging players to get the vaccine, but simultaneously, based on incentivizing teams and how the protocols work, in some ways, they're kind of telling teams if the players aren't going to get vaxxed, it's a lot easier for you to cut them. Mm. So Urban Meyer kind of inadvertently just says, yeah, of course the vax was a consideration. Yeah. Availability is a really big deal, and the team has come out since and even put a statement out to kind of further that point.
That's the NFL, man.
But then on the other end of it, you have Bill Belichick, who cut Cam Newton yesterday. Yep. And was the vax part of your consideration? And Bill, classic, you know, as he's in the process of cutting his sleeves off.
Ow.
No, it didn't matter. But then he also says your implication that the vaccine solves every problem has not been substantiated.
Agreed.
This is a quote. The number of players and coaches and staff who have been infected with COVID after being vaccinated is a pretty high number.
Yeah.
I wouldn't lose sight of that. So you know, it's a combination of availability mattering and Urban Meyer at least being one coach that kind of said something I'm sure has been on the minds of every coach and GM in the league.
Yeah.
But then you have Belichick on the other end of it that says, hey, you know, these protocols, all of that, that's great. But we're still getting screwed here, no matter how we look at this thing. And we got to figure out how to move forward. So it's just, it's cloudy, and it's something that clearly on the front of minds of most in the NFL right now.
You laid it out beautifully, brother, in that the thing for me is that these National Football League teams, they are businesses. And they are businesses that are owned by people who run businesses. And they have a right, if you are not vaccinated, they have a right to not have you on the team. And if you are, they have a right to have or not have you on the team. And that's really, you know, it's I don't know what next steps could be legally if somebody's like, I was better than this guy and he got the shot and I didn't and I'm out. I mean, good luck with that in court. Seriously, subjectively proving you're better than somebody, that ain't going to happen. So I have no problem with teams making decisions to cut players who are not vaccinated.
It's an availability thing.
Well, yeah, because, and I'm faith before fear guy, 100 out of 100 times. But also knowing how business works is I'm not one to cast my gaze down the road and be like, well, I'm worried that this is going to happen. I'm worried I'm going to lose this guy. I don't have the worry gene. However, in running a business, you do need to cast your gaze.
Yeah.
And whether you're Cam Newton or sideline mask-wearing preseason guy du jour, if they don't want you around, they have the right to formulate that opinion and have that reason. And I have absolutely no problem with it. We're going to play a game around the corner. Hopefully, do we have a Mike Ulrich here? A Mike Ulrich?
There he is. We got him.
Okay, we got
right up front.
I see. Where is he?
Oh, there's Mike.
What's up, man? Good luck in Stump the Snob is in the Sports Snob. And there's Statsy, trying to skew the game and fix it with his hashtag faith shirt from days gone by. Stump the Snob is an Ordo creation. We do it every Wednesday, 9:15 KFAN. It's Stump the Snob is in the self-proclaimed sports snob. That would be me. August is a difficult work month for me. I know you're happy for me, so I'm tired. I am an underdog in this, yet I am playing to beat these snot-nosed kids. Because two tickets to the Vikings home opener against Seattle and their turf suites, they're unbelievably cool, lower level. Superstats Dave, he's racetrack raised. He's immediately thinking of ways he can sell them on the open market, get himself into the Saratoga pick five. So he's going to bring everything he has. Mike is somebody I met via Twitter. They contest me as Nordo delivers the goods. And that's all next from Carousel Park at FM 100.3 KFA.
The Fan.
Pump! Got to do something.
Welcome back, 9 to noon, live from the Minnesota State Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's time to stump the snob on 9 to noon.
Get it, Gem.
Give me that music, Max. Weekly sports trivia, 9 to noon. My entire goal in starting this game, well, partly because there was no sports in March of 2020, but the whole idea was to create a game that would make the host of 9 to noon look dumb. And so Stump the Snob was born. And joining me today live to compete, it is not Meat Sauce Paul Lambert or Corey Coe from the Power Trip Morning Show. We have on your left in the fan stands, my right, it is Superstats Dave. And then facing him, of course, Mike Ulrich, both competing. And there's a lot up for grabs today, you guys.
Let's meet the contestants trying to stump the snob as in the sports snob. By the way, if you could do us a solid when we answer these questions, nobody blurt out the answer, if you indeed know the answer, because we do have two Vikings Turf Suite tickets to the Vikings Super Chickens game, September 26th. First, Mike Ulrich, how are you? Who are you? Where are you from? And what compelled you to come out here? And am I saying your last name right?
You are correct.
Tell us about yourself.
I'm Mike. I'm from Shakopee. I come out here every year on Wednesday, and
about the family and just enjoying the day.
Where's the family?
All right there.
All wearing a Mike Ulrich fan club shirts. Are you? It's okay. Again, if you know an answer and we look like we have elite sports minds there, let's not fix the race or the race will end. And that's pretty much how the whole thing's going to go. Mike, it was a pleasure to meet you on Twitter last couple of days. You've emailed or tweeted. I mean, you've been a great correspondent to 9 to Noon and or KFAN for many years. Very nice to meet you in person. Best of luck to you. Gentlemen to my right, wearing the Vikings cap backwards, the hashtag faith shirt, which is old school pro shop here at the State Fair. What is your name, young man? Where are you from? And tell us about yourself.
My name is Dave Handelin, Super Sats Dave. I'm from Austin, Minnesota originally, live in Bloomington now, but go Spam Town.
Got mad at me when I ripped Spam on Twitter.
Nobody does that.
Spam's amazing.
Spam's amazing. They're right over here.
Oh, yeah.
I work for C.H. Robinson, the Minnesota Timberwolves, do statistics, racetrack train, see BA occasionally out at Canterbury. The tickets, if I win them, will not go on to any sort of secondary trading.
Of course they won't.
I've got a couple of friends who are reaching out thinking they're the potential guests. So.
Yeah. If you win, or shall I say, when you run second to me and you get the tickets, Tommy Tickets is around the corner, another racetrack friend of ours, waiting for the two ducats with seven $100 bills in his hand for the Del Mar Pick 5 later this week. Just fend the demon. Fend the sin, okay? Just walk away, all right?
Sorry, Kelly.
Now, let's make sure. Can you guys hear everything out there okay? You can. Basically, what you need to hear is Nordo answering the questions. In fact, Max, let's just pull the music out so there is no music bed-related distraction. And Nordo will, if you happen to get one right, you guys know it. But for those who don't, you'll hear.
That's right.
And if it doesn't work, that's pretty much what it is. So Mike, Stats, Paul Allen, Nordo, Jared Wells, Baby Ryan behind us. It is time to stump the snob as in the sports snob, and here they are.
Absolutely, and thanks to the Minnesota Lottery for these tickets, by the way. Get pumped, it's game time. Turf Suite tickets for the Vikings home opener. I believe they're hosting the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's on the line. Thank you to Minnesota Lottery. Get pumped, it is game time. Next segment, higher point value, Hail Mary questions, categories in the docket. But first,
kicking them off.
All right, I have three lists.
Okay, now wait, that's your intel? So just to make sure things are fair, I'm going to turn myself this way so I can't catch a glimpse of anything Nordo has in his hands. I mean, I've worked in horse racing 30 years. We abhor even the suggestion of fixed races. So therefore, I'm going this way to make sure everything's copacetic.
And as part of that fixed race, you will not be writing any things down because the Rubes will not be writing anything down.
No. That is not true because that's part of the challenge of stumping the snob as in the sports snob is that my mechanics are the same. Theirs, it's up to them to do it however they want.
All right.
Mike and I have this, right?
Yeah, we got this.
Do you guys want paper and a pen?
Do you have your mind?
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sharp.
I got three.
Are we role playing? I'm Sauce and he's Cove, or is it one way or the other?
No, if you're going to lay it out that way, I'd want to be the snot nosed kid first, and your head size is not nearly big enough. Your cap is not a fitted 9.
You're going to need a bigger hat.
Right.
I have three lists for you, all sports related. In this particular case, all Minnesota sports related.
Yep.
And we're going to start with UPA. You'll give me an answer. If it's correct, you get a point. If it's incorrect, you will be out for the remainder of that list.
Okay.
The first list is...
Hold on, wait. ESPN.com and Stats is slow to load. Hold on. Just kidding.
The first list, the top 15 home run hitters of all time for the Minnesota Twins.
Top 15 home run hitters all time, Minnesota Twins. We would like to begin with Ken Herbeck.
That is correct. 293, second all time. To you, Mike Ulrich.
Will Kilbrew.
Tops all time, 559. That is correct.
Nice job, brother. Statsy Batsy?
Kirby Puckett.
Kirby Puckett, seventh with 207.
Justin Morneau.
Fourth all time, 221.
Same.
Kadire?
Number 15. What a guess.
Oh!
That is correct.
Boy, this Ulrich family over here is making me nervous. Good God.
Torrey Hunter.
Torrey Hunter, number six, 214.
Great. Yeah, great.
Two apiece.
Oh, my God. How about, well, let's see. Joe Mauer was a 2009 scam at Metrodome. Then he got paid, so that's not going to count. How about Chili Davis? When he reaches for that, I'm dead. Hey, screw all of you, okay? Maybe I'm fixing the race so they can win. That's not true, actually, but damn it.
PA is out for the remainder of this list. It's to you, Mike.
Rod Carew.
Ooh. Carew?
Rod Carew.
What? No. Yeah, that ain't that. I mean, nice try. Better than Chili Davis.
That is not correct.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Ulrich family?
Dave, you're the only one left. Time to rattle them off.
Stats, if you got somebody up there fixing this race, I'm going to whoop your ass in front of all these people. I'm sorry, Scott. Sorry, kids, but I am.
Brian Dozier?
What?
Brian Dozier.
That's
is
right.
Correct.
My God, Statsy!
3 points. He was 10th all time.
Gary Gaetti?
8th all time.
Oh,
that is correct.
God.
You're up to 4 points.
Stats on fire. Come
Tom
on,
Bernanski?
Batsy.
Bernanski. He's 11th. You're up to 5.
Bro, who are you looking at over there?
I don't know. He's
are you looking
at a guy in a twin shirt.
Are you looking
this
at somebody?
To be karma.
Okay, great. He also works for Elias Sports Bureau. You think this is fun? Funny? The Ulrich family's crying.
I didn't know you knew sign language.
I'm about empty.
well, he's about ready to learn sign language. One finger, it's in the middle. 3.
Gail Sinnoh.
Ooh.
13.
Oh!
You're up to 6 points. Keep it going.
Yeah, keep it. No, that's don't right. keep it going.
Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 remain.
That right.
No.
3.
Terry Steinbach.
Hey, round of applause for Statsy, though, for just, like, galloping away by 5 lengths.
Bob Allison, 256. Tony Ooh. Oliva, 220. Roy Sievers, 180. Jim Lemon, 159.
Roy
and
Sievers.
Joe Mauer, the big
what?
Scam. 14th overall,
good.
143 home runs.
143 home runs is top 15 for this team. Damn, man, we better start hitting some home runs.
Yeah, things are weird with this team.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, nice season, too.
Starting with Mr. Ulrich. All right, Mike, your chance to jump back into this.
What's the score, brother?
It is Dave, Super Stats, with 6. PA and Mike both have 2. Second
Oof.
List, picking them off.
Oof.
The top 15 points scorers in Timberwolves history. The top 15 for the Howl, and it's starting with you, Mike.
Well, KG.
How about KG? Tops all time, 19,000 and change.
Ooh!
To you, Dave.
Oh, wait, he's a statistician for the Timberwolves Radio Network on CCO. I mean, seriously, are we going to talk about the fourth race at Canterbury tonight and have me name every horse?
I don't watch the games.
Jeez. Yeah, of course you don't.
Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins is 3rd all-time.
Went for the non-obvious.
8,700 points.
Well, I'm taking Kevin Love.
Kevin Love is 5th all-time.
I'll take the low hanger.
69.89.
Yeah, Mike, what do you think of that now, gopher guy?
We'll go with Wally.
6th all-time.
Yeah, he stole one
of mine. Correct.
That's cool.
Carl Anthony Towns.
No,
2nd all-time, 93 and counting.
Spree?
Sprewell.
Give it to me. No! No! Sprewell has knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
That is not correct. You remain at 3 points.
Go ahead and say Troy Hudson, snot-nosed kid.
Come on, Mike.
Rubio?
11th all-time. You are up to 5 points, sir.
What about Duty EB?
He still could pan out.
3.
Tony Campbell.
Oh, that's a good guess.
We're just getting these 8th all time, 4,800.
Yeah. All right. I see we fixed this race for the statistician for the Wolves Radio Network.
It's
copyright Phil
points.
Collins against all odds up in this thing.
Back to you, Mike.
Johnny Flynn.
Flonny Jin with the nice smile.
Sometimes humor wins out. Was not correct in this case. Back to you, Dave. All you again.
Yeah.
Sam Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4th all time.
No,
that's
not?
Correct. Up
why
to
not?
10 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Come on. Just keep showing off. 3.
3, 2, 1.
We already said,
and by the way, Alan Horton is now looking for a new statistician for the Timberwolves Radio Network after that L right there.
Yeah, he needs somebody to pull out Doug West, Christian Laettner, Isaiah J.R. Ryder.
Ooh!
Googs, Gugliotto was 12th. Al Jefferson stuck around long enough to score 4,100.
Damn.
Gorgie Dang, what about Gorgie?
Yeah.
And Pooh Richardson.
Yeah.
Pooh Richardson rounded out the top 15. All right, Dave's in the lead with 10. Mike with 5, PA with 3. Everybody very much in the mix. Final list. And then we'll break. We'll hit categories and Hail Marys on the other side.
Hey, thanks. Y'all like this game? Isn't this fun? Stump the Snob, Sports Snob, Wednesdays 9:15. Can I get a witness?
All right, let's end with this list, starting with you, Superstats Dave. I have 15 Vikings running backs. Or are they all running backs? But there are 15 Vikings players that have scored 20 or more rushing touchdowns. 20 or more rushing touchdowns. There are 15 of them.
In their careers?
In their careers with the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start with you, Dave.
Adrian Peterson.
That's a pretty good guess. Okay, let me see. Is he on the list? Yeah, 97 touchdowns for Adrian.
Robert Smith?
Robert Smith is 6th. He had 32 rushing touchdowns with the Purple. To you, Mike.
Dalvin?
33 rushing touchdowns
sucker.
And counting for number 33. You're up to 6 points, Mike.
Terry Allen.
Good one.
Yeah, he's 11th. He had 23 rushing touchdowns.
Chuck Foreman.
Number 2, he had 52.
Q.
You're up to 5 points, PA.
Take that, Ulrich family.
To you, Mike. You can do this, Mike.
And the blonde over there wants to whoop the announcer's butt with that look she just gave me. Holy Woo! Cow.
3, 2, 1. Mike's out. To you, Dave.
Leroy Horde.
Oh, that was a good one.
Me?
I was sitting on it. Nice job.
26 rushing touchdowns.
Let's go with Boom Boom Brown.
Is that Bill or Ted?
Bill.
Yep, that's correct. Number 3 all-time, 52. You're up to 6 points. To you, Dave.
Darren Nelson.
Hit it. Okay, now it's down
correct.
To the old announcer to run the table.
Stop looking over here.
How many have we gone through so far?
2, 4, 7.
7? Okay.
Looks like we have 8 left.
Let's see. Wizinator guy will not be in there.
That's correct.
So we're going to let's start with Michael Bennett. What? Michael Bennett didn't have 20 rushing touchdowns in his career?
Not with the Vikings.
Oh, my God. And I left like 5 on the table here.
That was anticlimactic. Ted Brown.
I
basically gave it away
idiot
with my
gives
boom
an
boom
answer,
arrow.
And I don't even use that, which makes me more of an idiot.
Dave Osborne had 29. Dante Culpepper, 29.
Ooh.
Tommy Mason, 28. Fran Tarkenton, 22. Alfred Anderson, 22. Mo Williams, 21. And even Herschel Walker. For all the notoriety about that bad trade, he eventually scored 20 rushing touchdowns.
Well, I'm in last, I think.
You're tied with Mike.
Yep, tied for how far ahead is Stats?
After picking them off, ladies and gentlemen, Superstats Dave Hanlon in the lead with 12 points, 13
mm-hmm.
points, excuse me, 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
PA and Mike Ulrich were rooting for the Rube here over the Snob. They both have 6. And when we return here live from the Minnesota State Fair, Stump the Snob continues. Categories, higher point value, Hail Mary questions. And thanks to the Minnesota Lottery, get pumped, it's game time. One of these two gentlemen walking away with turf suite tickets to the Vikings home opener with the Seahawks. It's 9 to noon right here on
The Fan.
Stump the Snob is in the Sports Snob is underway at the State Fair. It's Paul Allen. The game is a Nordo creation. And Mike Ulrich, along with Dave Handelind, Superstats Dave, they are contesting yours truly for trivia immortality with Vikings turf suite tickets to the game against the Super Chickens at stake a couple of weeks from Sunday. And Stats has 13 points. Mike and I are tied for, depending on what your lot in life is, we're either tied for second or we're tied for last. That's completely up to you. We each have six. Mike, I'm remiss in when we met and you chatted your Twitter handle. What I met you through Twitter. What is your Twitter handle?
Gopher Craze.
At Gopher Craze.
Correct.
And Statsy, what's your Twitter handle?
At Super Stats Dave.
Down with that Super Stats Dave. All right, good luck, boys.
I just want to remind, where is it here? Super Stats Dave, longtime listener, 9 to noon. Sometimes he likes to contribute. Could be a pithy email, something witty. Hey, you guys said something stupid. He also contributed to 9 to noon, where every year we kind of wash our hands clean of the season and we look forward to the Super Bowl run the following year. He contributed this as a potential Super Bowl 56 slogan.
So, fi, fo, fum. Vikes gonna win in that stadium.
Really?
Yeah, that's a C. Overall.
Really? Thank you. The only reason it gets airtime is he's a longtime racetrack friend of mine. You know, and he contributes, like Mad Producer said. Can we hear that one more time? Let's hear a couple of the big voice Super Bowl promotion type things where we try to get, as the kids would say, people hyped. Same facts. I know, right? Here's one.
Yeah, we could do
Purple Pain to SoFi Rain.
There we go. Super Bowl at SoFi and SoCal.
Okay, how about this one?
From Tundra to Tinseltown.
Yeah, it's Super Bowl 56. Get your kicks at Super Bowl 56 for our old Nat King Cole fans, Route 66.
Yeah.
But then Dave comes in, and he felt really good about it. I could tell that he was proud of his creation. Norda, when I looked at it and read it and went, okay, let's hear it.
So, fi, fo, fum. Vikes gonna win in that stadium.
That would be an L for the day.
Well, the program, they were going to put that on a T-shirt, and they settled for left play instead.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they could play it once an hour and just watch what happens.
I believe Charch and KG have both signed off on that one, as they do like it.
Well, I understand that, but you can think of the mental wherewithal or the lack thereof of the two constituents you just mentioned, and we can just stop right there. And, no, Charch is brilliant. Okay, so if he signed off on it, fee-fi-fo-fum, what happened to the thumb at the stadium? I can't even remember what it is.
Mike's going to win in that stadium.
That's what it is.
Yeah, Charge handles the entrepreneurial, fantasy football-related creativity.
Stop right there, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. How about this? Right back into it before I start making bad
jokes
about Charge.
How about this, ladies and gentlemen? Stump the Snob
Stump
is in the
snob.
Sports Snob.
Absolutely.
Maxwell Fuller producing back at the station, by the way. I got all his albums.
Dave Handelin, Super Stats Dave, with that awful
sheet.
Sounder, is in the lead with 13 points following picking him off. Both PA and Mike Ulrich have six.
Sorry, I covered my mouth. 35 people from the stands just went running. I apologize, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I need a sheet.
Yes, you do need a sheet.
Yes.
You can have...
I need a fee-fi-fo-fum.
This
here we
sheet.
Go.
All right.
Here?
Currently time for...
Categories.
Yep. All right. I have four categories for you gentlemen with four questions each in ascending point value. The categories are Raising Canes, as in Miami, those Canes.
Yeah, kids.
Buckeyes. Balls in Hand, Twins pitchers.
Ooh, sorry, I didn't laugh.
And Trimming the Fat.
No, I didn't.
In relation to recent cuts.
Caught in my throat with that
by
one.
The purple and gold.
Same. Facts. I know, right?
Whoever's in the lead, that'll be Dave momentarily. He'll get us started. But each of you, upon me reading the question, anytime you use your name and your buzzer, you can ring in. If you get it right, you get the points. And you
same.
Get to choose where we go next.
Facts.
If you are wrong, then you are out. The other two have an opportunity to house those points and move forward. Dave, where are we headed to first?
I know, right?
Buckeyes won.
Right?
Buckeyes for one.
Oh, name is a buzzer in case you missed it, because I did.
Name is your buzzer.
Ha!
In 2018, the Gophers held this running back for just 35 yards rushing, but now that he's in the NFL, we wish him a speedy recovery from his ACL injury with the Ravens.
Paul?
Yes.
J.K. Dobbins.
That's right.
That is correct.
But it's only 1 point. Big deal. We're happy for me.
PA up to 7. Where are we headed to next?
Let's go with the Buckeyes for 2. I know, right?
Before he was catching Super Bowl-winning passes from Big Ben, he was catching touchdowns from Troy Smith.
Mike.
Ooh, I think Mike was
that
first.
That was Mike.
We'll go with Deontay.
Huh?
Oh, no. No, I got it.
Stats.
Yeah. Stats, Dave.
Santonio Holmes.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Well done, correct. Boy. Look at Stats extending the lead.
You want to stick with Buckeyes, Dave?
Buckeyes 3.
He was a game-changing quarterback for the Buckeyes with 3 wins over Minnesota's. Then he had 1,000 yards receiving for the Browns in 2016.
Terrell Pryor.
Yep, that's well right. done. Can you read the first part of that question?
He was a game-changing quarterback for the Buckeyes with 3 wins over Minnesota.
Paul, every Buckeyes quarterback ever. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Sky, you mom, man. I'm pulling for the team tomorrow night. Same. LMAO. Here we go.
Stats in the lead with 18.
Yeah.
PA was 7. Mike was 6.
Okay, I know, right?
Buckeyes for 4.
Buckeyes for 4.
He picked off Adam Weber in the 2007 game, then became an all-pro safety in the NFL.
Paul.
Yes.
Mike Doss.
Oh! Winning a Super Bowl as a rookie with the Saints and with the Eagles most recently as well.
Oh, my heavens.
Stats?
Yes.
Malcolm Jenkins?
That's right.
Well done, boy. Well done. That's a good one, right? Why are you looking at me like that? No, I can whoop your butt here and at the racetrack and at C.H. Robinson, okay? Boy, just stare death darts at me.
Picturing you in an office environment.
22.
We will go.
Wait, hold on. 22, 7-6. Wow, this is getting
That's
out of
correct.
Hand. Holy cow. It's getting out of hand
Where
here.
Where are we headed, Dave?
Speaking of out of hand, we'll go balls in hand, 1.
Ow, balls in hand.
Hold on, please. Okay, 7 for me. Got it. Go ahead.
His 11.625 strikeout-to-walk ratio in 2014 was the highest in Major League history. In his first season with the Twins after
Yes. Francisco Liriano?
After coming from the Bronx.
Ah!
Stats.
Shut up.
3.
Johan Santana?
2.
Ha ha.
Ulrich, I'll give you one last chance. His 11.625 strikeout to walk ratio in 2014 was the highest in Major League history. His first season with the Twins after coming from the Bronx.
Lance Lynn?
It was Phil Hughes. Phil Hughes.
Yep. Balls in hand. Oh, it's not my guess.
Balls in hand, 2.
Huh?
He's second all-time for the Twins with 648 appearances, which makes sense given his everyday nickname.
Paul.
Mike. Eddie. I think Mike was first.
Eddie. No, I killed him.
Okay.
No, you know what? You're the guest, man. Go ahead. And he wants me to lose, so I'm just going to go ahead and say that you, bud.
Everyday Eddie
Gordano. Nailed it.
You're up to 8 points, Mike.
8. Well done, buddy.
We'll go balls in hand, 3.
Huh?
This personality won a World Series with the Pirates 8 years before.
Paul.
Yes.
Burt Blyleven.
That's right.
That is correct.
Take that. 22-10-8. Stats up.
Stay with balls in hand?
Yes, for 4.
From 1963 to 72, he compiled 128 wins, with 24 of them coming in 1970 as he won the Cy Young.
Paul?
Stats first.
Jim Palmer?
Paul Kittycott?
He won the Cy Young in 1970, Mike.
Same.
3, 2, 1.
I can't.
Bob Allison?
Not all of these were going to be easy. Jim Perry.
Damn.
Jim Perry.
Okay.
Where are we headed to next?
Is it me?
Yeah.
Let me see. 22 for stats, 10 for me, 8 for Mike. Confirmed?
Correct.
Bam. Let's go. Raising Canes for 1.
This Canes QB was a 7th-round pick in 9th. Yes.
Geno Toretta.
That's right.
Oh, nice
you're
job.
Sitting on that one.
Well, you wouldn't have that one.
23.
Uh-huh.
Raising Canes 2.
This Cane receiver apparently flashed during training camp practices this year, trying to make up for a fairly unimpressive rookie campaign last season.
Paul.
Yes.
KJ Osborne.
That's right.
Thank you.
For three?
Yes, three, Mr. Nordo.
This underwhelming offensive lineman was taken by the Vikes in the fifth round of the 2017 draft.
Ball?
Yes.
Danny Isadora?
That's right.
And he's coming back.
Okay, so that's three for 15. I'm eight behind the snot-nosed kid. Let's go Canes for four.
He played in games for the Vikings in 2013 and 2014. But this former Canes tight end caught his only NFL touchdown from Teddy Bridgewater just before halftime in Washington, 2014.
Former Cane, you say?
Tight end.
Paul?
Wasn't amazing, yeah.
Weaver? I forgot the guy's name.
Caught a touchdown just in front of halftime.
Dead. I would guess David Morgan, but
San Antonio's
team.
Two.
Yeah.
One. Chase Ford.
That's really good. He played at two schools, finished at the Canes. Very good. Very, very well done, Nordo.
All right, final category. Let's see if Mike can jump back into this here.
Trimming the fat.
Puppy.
Involving cuts.
He was the only one to score an offensive touchdown this preseason.
Paul,
yes.
A.J. Rose
That's
Jr.
Right. The host is awoken. No Gabby Carter-related answers. This is going great.
Stop. Kids are here. Same facts.
For 2 points,
He
was waived by the Vikings in October 2020, tweeted a clown emoji.
Paul.
Yes.
Hercules Mata'afa.
Right.
He's a bad Mata'afa.
All right, Super Stats in the lead with 23, PA with 18, creeping up.
You're still winning, Statsy.
And Mike, by the way, you're still very much in the mix with 8, but let's get some points here,
Mike,
right?
In case you don't, you've heard Snob, right?
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, so at the end, we're going to break first, but I mean, I think it goes like 6, 7, 8, or 7, 8, 9, something like that. So Nordo gives you the Hail Mary. You got the Hail Mary in your back pocket.
Just can't sauce it.
Just warm that arm up.
My man, I'm paying your admission. I'm giving you a $20 bill after we're done to pay your admission and the extra 10 for that line.
Unless you win the turf suite tickets, then you get nothing.
That's a fair point, the Nords. What are we at, three?
We're at three.
And what's the title?
Trimming the Fat.
Puppy.
Joined the Vikings in 2019. Started all 16 games last year for the offense, but he got beat out of a spot on the line.
Stats.
Yes.
Dakota Dozier.
That's right.
He started every game.
Yeah, he started all 16.
Last year?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my God. No wonder we only won 7.
That's a lot of G's that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's Dakota, nice guy.
He's Rick Dennison's guy.
Yeah.
Handpicked him from, where'd he come from again?
Jets.
The Jets.
Yep. And finally, trimming the fat slash cuts, number 4. Oh, wait, I got to mark that. So Stats got, he's got a 3? Oh, man, 26 for you, Stats, 18 for me, 8 for Gopher Craze.
All right, for 4 points. He's the only one at his position, and he was let go yesterday.
Paul!
Yes.
Andrew DePaula?
That's right.
Long snapper Vikings. Give me that 4. Let's go to break.
22.
Come back, go some Hail Mary.
All right, thanks to the Minnesota Lottery, either Mike Ulrich
Love
or Super Stats Dave will be walking away with turf suite tickets to the Vikings home opener against the Seahawks week 3. And thank you, Game Time. What is it? Get pumped.
Sure.
It's Game Time, courtesy of the Minnesota State Lottery.
Hey, round of applause for the producer, Nordo Eric Nordquist, for creating the game, putting the time into it, doing a good job with it each and every week. Most importantly, navigating my enigmatic mercurial mood swings, which 5 days a week can be difficult. Another round of applause. Can I get a witness?
It's a roller coaster.
Rock his round of applause, though.
It's a roller coaster of love. Super Stats in the lead with 26, PA with 22, Mike with 8. Everybody's still in it. Hail Mary questions next to wrap up Stump the Snob and a 9 to Noon, live from the State Fair, brought to you by Snap Fitness on
KFAN.
I can't wait until tomorrow. 'Cause tomorrow might very well be too late. I can't wait until tomorrow. 'Cause tomorrow could never come. I know it could end any minute, but I pray tomorrow comes. But it could be too late. I'm ready to smile, but for a long while, wouldn't take much to get me down. I love my mother.
another dream in color. Most of all, I know my place. I can't wait, I can't wait until tomorrow. Cause tomorrow might very well be too late. Yeah. I can't wait, I can't hold on any longer.
Deep stretch, ladies and gentlemen, and they're coming home now in the Stump the Snob is in the Sports Snob Derby. This is high-level stakes racing activity.
Woo.
Mike, I'm glad you put it that way, because there's another way to define closing from the back of the pack that involves the word behind. This is Stump the Snob is in the Sports Snob. I know, right? Facts. And Super Stats Dave with the Vikings hat, he has 26 points. Yours truly has 22. And Mr. Ulrich has 8. But the good news here is that I believe there are like 21 points available right now. So
if he runs the table, he wins.
You go bang, 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 you win the whole thing. But most importantly, if you finish second and I win, either one of you, you're going to go ahead and get those tickets.
Absolutely. And
all right, good luck, boys.
Thanks to the Minnesota Lottery. Get pumped. It's game time. A pair of turf suite tickets. Whoa. Vikings and Seahawks, yeah. That is September 26th.
Hold on. How many people in the crowd, and it's okay, I'm thick-skinned, how many people in the crowd genuinely want me to lose? Use. Okay, great. See all these Vikings field passes I have here for every game this year? Guess what crowd's getting none? All of you. But we'll see. I'm losing. This is the hardest I've tried at this game in 6 months. And let's let the chips fall where they may, boys.
Absolutely. So as part of
Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I have 3 questions. Ooh. 5 initials like clues for each. Mm. At any point in time, all of you can ring in, use your name as your buzzer. You get it correct. You get the respective points. If you're wrong, you're out for the remainder of that question. These 3, by the way, are worth 6, 7, and 8 points, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so 21 total points in the mix and up for grabs. If there is a tie, haven't done the math, maybe that's possible, maybe not. I do have 1 tiebreaker.
5 minutes to go in the show, too, so don't get nervous. And only 5 minutes to go. These turf suite tickets, man, it's an unbelievable experience. Don't get nervous, Datsy. Don't get nervous, boy. Like when you're walking up to that machine to play a $300 pick 5 ticket, you get nervous. That's why you take L's. Don't be nervous.
Money's on the ground. They're off.
Well, if the money's on the ground, if the tickets are in the ground, that's where Mouse is looking for them stooping.
All right, the comeback starts now, Mike. The 6-point question.
Ooh!
57 years old from Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah.
Coached his way to 3 total national titles between 2 different programs.
Paul.
Yes.
Urban Meyer.
That's right.
Go with that. I just read it yesterday.
Unfortunately, you've been eliminated, Mike.
Think I didn't read it yesterday? Reading up on them Jags. Oh, looky here. Oh, look who just took the lead, you snot-nosed little kiddo.
In the lead.
Go ahead and make fun of my eyebrow and my 3 chins. Go ahead. Haven't felt my ribs in 30 years. About ready to whoop you.
In the lead with 28 points. The human cartoon has taken over for 7 points. And, Mike, feel free to play spoiler here.
Oh, I'm trying.
For 7 points, seems like he's in serious trouble. First-round draft pick in 2017.
Bats.
Yes.
Oh. Deshaun Watson.
Oh, my right. God.
And back into the lead.
Hey, Super why are you cheering, Dave? You Packer fan biatches? I'm sorry, kids. I didn't mean to say that. Facts, I know, right? Hold on. So he got 7?
Yeah, 33
to 28.
Points. So if PA,
oh my
gets,
God.
If PA gets this correct, he wins.
Stats, it's you and I.
It's Mike and I.
If
yeah,
stats,
he against you.
Well, you haven't talked in an hour.
If stats or Mike, you're,
I mean,
Mike get
it's
it
gotten
correct.
So bad for you, your family left. Seriously, they just quit on you. Hopefully there's no maintenance involved.
Oh, they went to go get DAVE t-shirts.
Get it, Kim.
All right, here we go, the 8-point question.
Oh my God, Statsy, don't be nervous because I am. I'm about ready to
ice
pee my pants.
Veins.
Fortunately, I'm 55 years of age, and that takes 3 minutes these days.
What is
we don't have enough left in the show.
Is that Vermont or New Hampshire on your
pants
right
now?
Right
now, I'm working on one of those Hawaiian islands.
The 8-point question. Born in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, Paul.
Yes.
Ben Simmons.
Damn it. The
is it?
Wins.
Yes, I read it for the Finch interview today. Oh, my God.
Stupid.
We had the Wolves coach on the show, and I wrote down a bunch of Ben Simmons stats, and he was born in Melbourne, Australia, and I didn't know it. Can I get a round of applause? Was it right?
Yes, you
yes,
were right.
Yes, it was right.
This
Can
sucks.
I get a round of applause for these kids right here?
This
How
so
about that?
Dumb.
Go ahead and run into the announcer. I just got lucky. I read it this morning,
you
man.
You never read.
What? I know, because I can't read. But I learned overnight for the Timberwolves head coach.
Hey, please give a massive round of applause for Mike Ulrich, Superstats Dave Handelin, for participating live Stump the Snob here at the Minnesota State Fair.
Stats, you get those seats, brah.
And thanks to the Minnesota Lottery, get pumped. It's game time. Dave, stick around after the show. I'll get your intel. I already have it, but
yeah.
Just for the theater of the mind, Dave, okay? And we'll get you those Turf Suite tickets, and you get to go see Fieldside.
Yeah.
Chickens hosted by the Vikings.
Hold on.
926.
Yeah, we got 2.5 minutes to go on the show. Y'all ain't leaving yet because you listen to 9 to noon. You love sports and everything. Mike, with your handle, is it at GopherCraze or Crazy or what is it?
At GopherCraze.
Okay, what would be your preferred maroon and gold sport, or do you love them all?
Hockey.
Oh, hockey. Okay. So what about, I know it's not hockey, but the football game tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you into it?
You're in.
Roll the boat.
How are we going to win?
We're going to win with a last-second field goal.
Oh.
Win by two.
We're going to win the game?
Yeah.
How much gas you got in your tank right now? 35W South, Diamond Joe's. That 20 I gave you, go put it on PJ on the money line plus 440 so we can pop tags. You with me?
Right on.
Oh, wait a second. We got to drive to Iowa to do that because, with no due respect in this state, if you make a $2 bet on a sporting event, it's akin to slapping your fattest vein, looking for a tourniquet, injecting horse. That's undoubtedly what's next, right? Make a $2 bet on sports. It's got to be horse next, right?
Can you explain horse to the kids?
Anyway, sorry. I just did that and 9,000 people scattered. I apologize. I apologize. What? He's not hosting the next show because I did that? Oh, sorry. We're pumped up for that game, man. Tomorrow,
yeah, man.
Ron Johnson, Gopher, great wide receiver. He'll be here. The Vox, Mike Grimm, right?
Mike Grimm on site at 9:15 tomorrow on a game day. Voice of Gophers football and hoops, Mike Grimm will be here. Really, first two-thirds of the show,
yeah.
All devoted to how
great.
This maroon and gold squad
great.
Can upset that 13.5-point fave.
When did you stop caring about the ratings? Sorry, I'm just happy the show's almost over. Go over, watch the Kane, Chris Hearn in practice. Go call some races, play pick fives. Stats, as the statistician for Alan Horton, Timberwolves Radio Network. Chris Finch, do you enjoy him as coach? What do you like about your job, and what do you think of the squad this year?
Love him as coach. When he came in last year, just a great offensive mind. That's kind of what everybody says, and that's what they showed. The players picked it up. I think Anthony Edwards, if you're playing fantasy basketball this year, I think Anthony Edwards is your way to go because he may not have won Rookie of the Year, but the kid is an absolute stud, works his tail off.
Yeah.
And there's a good group of Minnesota young athletes and across all of our sports. He might be the gem of gems.
Did you hear any part of my Finch interview?
A little bit of it.
If you heard none of it, it's fine. I'm not going to get offended.
I heard very little of it. Freeman was talking to me over there.
What'd you think of my line of you should play Vanderbilt and Beverly 40 minutes a game and try to win 79-77? Not the greatest line.
I didn't hear that, but it works. It makes sense, right?
You see what I'm saying, though,
Beverly's
right?
Beverly's a bulldog.
Right, as are you. And will I see you at the racetrack later?
I don't know if I will tonight, but yes, maybe.
Well, that means yes, and he's not telling his wife. A round of applause for Stats. A round of applause for Mike, my man Nordo right here. I'm Paul Allen. God bless all of you. Thank you for coming to the fair. Palms to the sky every second of every day, and I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Today's Paul Allen Show. Or listen back to previous show and interviews by going to the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.